Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
When knights are around the table, we dance where we're able. We do routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. When knights are around the table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rise to our quite something able. We're off from bad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't
you? He, King Shaziz the Terrible. All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound?
The turbo. All Earth working to fill the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
It's 7,000 degrees below zero up in here, getting snot sickles. Ha! You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, I think. Alright, everybody, how you doing out there? So, with that said, we're going to talk about our world today. Maybe play a little bit of a podcast, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Throw some opinions out there. Maybe mouth off a little bit. I don't know. Wait till some of the Knights of the Round Table actually show up. But yeah, it's chilly outside. It's chilly up in here. It's like 7,000 degrees below zero up in this joint with all this duct tape and baling wire. You know, holding everything together. I got duct tape holding the window shut and sealed up underneath the door and all that, trying to keep the cold out from outside. Leave the cold outside. Don't bring it up in here. It's cold enough. Now, truthfully, it ain't all that bad. I'm up underneath my blanket. Got my hot coffee, and so I'm hanging out with some friends over here at the Knights of the Round Table over at ShazizRadio.com. By the way, you are listening to www.ShazizRadio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one. I see Scotty Sovereign just showed up down there in the TCT portion of the chat room on Super Chat. Hi, Scotty Sovereign. I'll throw you a smiley face when I get done mouthing off. All right, scroll down underneath the chat rooms down there. There's four chat rooms. And scroll down underneath the chat rooms. There's a banner link for People Radio Network. Click on that and go over there and tell them folks that crazy haired Shaziz sent you over. Also, just in case of emergency, we also got another backup emergency chat room. It's actually the Dream Team chat room. I just linked it because it didn't work. That button was for an old website. Anyway, I got that fixed. You can attend the University of Mad Science. Check out Steven's resource page. Shaziz on Twitch. Of course, I'm not broadcasting live on Twitch. I'm kind of reserving that for you know, special events like Mad Science shows, and maybe, you know, off and on that kind of deal. We'll sort it out. Anyway, there's a temporary backup podcast page banner up there that has links to ways if you decide you want to try to help support Mad Science. That's, but read everything before you do anything. That's the whole thing. That's not what Shaziz Radio is all about. Anyway, but Weebly had an issue with the podcast page on there, but I think it might be more that I put too many podcasts on there, and so I run out of space available, so I might have to buy more space on that one. But in the meantime, I got temporary backup podcast pages over on Shaziz.net, and so we'll still be able to get podcasts out to you and all the links necessary to listen in and all that kind of stuff. So you can talk in Shaziz Mad Science Chat, so two there, one backup, so three total, Awake Radio, TCT Chat Room, or jump over there to People for People Radio and talk in their chat room. Wonderful people in all of them. So with that said, I'm going to play a bit of this podcast right down here before I get into today's madness. So listen into this here.
Hello and welcome to Declassified. I'm your host, Gina Shakespeare. You are now watching part one of a two-part series on Spygate, the true story of collusion, how America's most powerful agencies were weaponized against President Donald Trump. Spygate will likely be remembered as the biggest political scandal in modern history. Obama administration officials actively colluded with the campaign of Hillary Clinton and foreign governments to affect the outcome of the 2016 presidential election. Unofficial intelligence, spy traps, and a politically funded dossier were used to launch a counterintelligence investigation and surveil the campaign of candidate Donald Trump. Efforts intensified following the election through the use of coordinated leaks and the ongoing creation of false narratives in the media. Jasper Fackett, chief editor of the American editions of the Epoch Times, along with Epoch Times contributor Jeff Carlson, have designed a comprehensive infographic to match this video and help you explore the connections of Spygate. The link is in the description below. In part one, we will be covering the FBI, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, the Department of Justice, the battle between Rosenstein and McCabe, and concluding with the State Department. Just before we get underway, please feel free to subscribe, like, and hit the notifications button. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook. Let's get underway with this story written by Epoch Times contributor Jeff Carlson. Although the details remain complex, the structure underlying Spygate, the creation of the false narrative that candidate Donald Trump colluded with Russia, and the spying on his presidential campaign remains surprisingly simple. It can be broken down into seven parts. Number one, CIA Director John Brennan, with some assistance from Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, gathered information, intelligence, and fed it throughout our domestic intelligence community. Number two, the FBI became the handler of Brennan's intelligence and engaged in more practical elements of surveillance. Number three, the Department of Justice facilitated investigations by the FBI and legal maneuverings while providing a crucial shield of non-disclosure. Number four, the Department of State became a mechanism of information dissemination and leaks. Number five, Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign and the Democratic National Committee provided funding, support, and media collusion. Number six, Obama administration officials were complicit and engaged in unmasking and intelligence gathering and dissemination. Number seven, the media was the most corrosive element in many respects. None of these events could have transpired without their willing participation. Stories were pushed, facts were ignored, and narratives were prompted. Let's start with a simple premise. The candidacy of Trump presented both an opportunity and a threat. Initially not viewed with any real seriousness, Trump's campaign was seen as an opportunistic wedge in the election process. At the same time, and particularly as the viability of his candidacy increased, Trump was seen as an existential threat to the established political system. The sudden legitimacy of Trump's candidacy was not welcomed by the US political establishment. Here was a true political outsider who had no traditional allegiances. He was brash and boastful, he ignored political correctness, he couldn't be bought, and he didn't care what others thought of him. He trusted himself. Governing bodies in Britain and the European Union were also worried. Candidate Trump was openly challenging monetary policy, regulations, and the power of special interests. He challenged Congress, he challenged the United Nations, and the European Union. He questioned everything. Brennan became the point man in the operation to stop a potential Trump presidency. It remains unclear whether his role was self-appointed or came from above. To embark on such a mission without direct presidential authority seems both a stretch of the imagination and particularly foolhardy. Brennan took unofficial foreign intelligence compiled by contacts, colleagues, and associates, primarily from the UK, but also from other Five Eyes members such as Australia. Individuals in official positions in UK intelligence such as Robert Hannigan, head of the UK Government Communications Headquarters, Britain's equivalent of the National Security Agency, partnered with former UK intelligence members, former MI6 head Sir Richard Dearlove, former ambassador Sir Andrew Wood, and private UK intelligence firm Hacklett all played a role. In summer of 2016, Hannigan travelled to Washington to meet with Brennan regarding alleged communications between the Trump campaign and Moscow. On January 23, 2017, 3 days after Trump's inauguration, Hannigan abruptly announced his retirement. The Guardian openly speculated that Hannigan's resignation was directly related to the sharing of UK intelligence. One method used to help establish evidence of collusion was the employment of spy traps. Prominent among these were ones set for campaign advisers George Papadopoulos and Carter Page. The intent was to provide or establish connections between the Trump campaign and Russia. The content and context mattered little, as long as a connection could be established that could then be publicized. The June 2016 Trump Tower meeting was another such attempt. Western intelligence assets were used to initiate and establish these connections, particularly in the cases of Papadopoulos and Page. Ultimately, Brennan formed an interagency task force comprising an estimated 6 agencies and all government departments. The FBI, Treasury, and DOJ handled the domestic inquiry into Trump and possible Russia connections. The CIA, Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and the National Security Agency, NSA, handled foreign and intelligence aspects. Brennan's Interagency Task Force is not to be confused with the July 2016 FBI counterintelligence investigation, which was formed later at Brennan's urging. During this time, Brennan also employed the use of reverse targeting, which relates to the targeting of a foreign individual with the intent of capturing data on a U.S. citizen. This effort was uncovered and made public by Devin Nunes in a March 2017 press conference. I have seen intelligence reports that clearly show the president-elect and his team were monitored and disseminated out in intelligence reporting channels. Details about persons associated with the incoming administration, details with little apparent foreign intelligence value, were widely disseminated in intelligence community reporting. From what I know right now, it looks like incidental collection. We don't know exactly how that was picked up, but we're trying to get to the bottom of it. As this foreign intelligence, unofficial in nature and outside of any traditional channels, was gathered, Brennan began a process of feeding his gathered intelligence to the FBI. Repeated transfers of foreign intelligence from the CIA director pushed the FBI toward the establishment of a formal counterintelligence investigation. Brennan repeatedly noted this during a May 23, 2017 congressional testimony. I made sure that anything that was involving U.S. persons, including anything involving the individuals involved in the Trump campaign, was shared with the FBI. Brennan also admitted that his intelligence helped establish the FBI investigation. I was aware of intelligence and information about contacts between Russian officials and U.S. persons that raised concerns in my mind about whether or not those individuals were cooperating with the Russians, either in a witting or unwitting fashion, and it served as the basis for the FBI investigation to determine whether such collusion or cooperation occurred. This admission is important, as no official intelligence was used to open the FBI's investigation. Once the FBI began its counterintelligence investigation on July 31, 2016, Brennan shifted his focus. Through a series of meetings in August and September 2016, Brennan informed the Congressional Gang of Eight regarding intelligence and information he had gathered. Notably, each Gang of Eight member was briefed separately, calling into question whether each of the members received the same information. Efforts to block the release of the transcripts from each meeting remains ongoing. The last major section of Brennan's efforts involved a series of three reports and greater participation from Clapper. The first report, the joint statement from the Department of Homeland Security and Office of the Director of National Intelligence on Election Security, was released on October 7, 2016. The second report, Grizzly Step, Russian Malicious Cyber Activity, was released on December 29, 2016. The third report, Assessing Russian Activities and Intentions in Recent U.S. Elections, also known as the Intelligence Community Assessment, ICA, was released on January 6, 2017. This final report was used to continue pushing the Russian collusion narrative following the election of President Donald Trump. Notably, Admiral Mike Rogers of the NSA.
I'll pause that for a second because this reminds me of something. Let me see how this works out here. Yeah, what a day. Alright, that's not it. This is
we
it.
Got something. Dirty deeds done, dirt cheap, that's what we got!
Woo! Get it! That's what I'm talking about!
Use what you got to do. They have a sound. I'm
cheat. Dirty deeds done the cheat.
Dirty deeds done the cheat.
All right, sorry I had to do that. This is Nick, but really insane, man. I'm telling you. If you're listening to what's going on with this particular Spygate deal, man, it's like, how corrupt? I mean, how corrupt is the system? You know, you talk about a you know, an election over here in the United States. Oh, man. You talk about a part of an election over here in the United States. Somebody down in the chat room's talking about party. Why? Because we won it. That's right. Yeah. Anyway, look, this is just like so mind-blowing, it's so insane. Spygate, you know, the guy, they get this guy that they think they can beat in the election, and everybody, you know, figures they're going to be able to get their particular standard candidate in and all that kind of stuff without any shenanigans, and go, this is no way this guy could win. Well, he turned around and he won. Well, that made everything bad. When they started seeing that he had the potential of winning, they wanted to try to shut him down before. So, you know, in comes the FBI and the CIA and what's that they say, MI6. All that was trying to get everybody, you know, on board with trying to get rid of him. See, well, hold on a second. May said, well, maybe give a betting for information that explains what I believe I will be occurring. Seems several federal prisons barges are returning to the dock. Gitmo, time for arrest. JFK Jr. waiting for them there. John Francis Kelly Jr., new commander at Gitmo, appointed by Trump. It's the plan, they say. Yeah, there's some stories out there, too. I'll tell you what. However this plays out, there's a whole lot of people deserve to be up in the jailhouse as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, it's just, I had to play that little bit of that Dirty Deeds song. That was a live version. That's the first one I grabbed a hold of. But it's kind of funny, though, because that's exactly, it seems, what's going on up there. Heck, if you want something done in Washington, D.C., all you got to do is you know, push some cash out and that kind of thing. Let me see if I'll throw somebody up in here then. Okay, hold on. Wait a second. Send a message. Start a call. Do-do-do-do-do. Nothing yet. Ah. All right. Well. All right. Well, let's go back to this podcast for a second, and we'll see what happens here.
They say publicly dissented from the findings of the ICA, assigning only a moderate confidence level. Next up, Federal Bureau of Investigation. Although the FBI is technically part of the DOJ, it is best for the purposes of this article that the FBI and DOJ be viewed as separate entities, each with its own related ties. The FBI itself was comprised of various factions with a particularly active element that has come to be known as the Insurance Policy Group. It appears that this faction was led by FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe and comprised other notable names such as FBI Agent Peter Strzok, FBI Lawyer Lisa Page, and FBI General Counsel James Baker. The FBI established the counterintelligence investigation into alleged Russia collusion with the Trump campaign on July 31, 2016. Comey initially refused to say whether the FBI was investigating possible connections between members of the Trump campaign and Russia. He would continue to refuse to provide answers until March 20, 2017, when he disclosed the existence of the FBI investigation during congressional testimony. Comey also testified that he did not provide notification to the Gang of Eight until early March 2017, less than 1 month earlier. This admission was in stark contrast to actions taken by Brennan, who had notified members of the Gang of Eight individually during August and September 2016. It's likely that Brennan never informed Comey that he had briefed the Gang of Eight in 2016.
Comey
did note that the DOJ had been
connected.
Following Comey's firing on May 9th, the since at least 2010, when Steele had provided assistance to the FBI's investigation into the FIFA corruption scandal. Prior to the London meeting, Gator may also have met on a less formal basis with Steele several weeks earlier. In June, Steele flew to Rome to brief the FBI contact with whom he had cooperated over FIFA, the Guardian reported. His information started to reach the Bureau in Washington. It's worth noting that there was no dossier until it was fully compiled in December 2016.
Yeah, until
there was also a sequence of documents from Steele, documents that were passed on individually as they were created. Therefore, from the FBI's legal perspective, they didn't use the dossier. They used individual documents. For the next month and a half, there appeared to be little contact between Steele and the FBI. However, the FBI's interest in the dossier suddenly accelerated in late August 2016 when
the hope you all got your copy.
contact exactly as the final FISA warrant on Page expired. Page, who had stepped.
Look, it goes through the whole list. I posted that link over there in the chat room at the superchat.html. Sorry, I just had a little bit of fun with all that because, I mean, how many times can you listen over and over and over about all the doggone corruption in every single government all over the entire globe? It's ridiculousness. You don't see the average Joe running out there pulling them shenanigans. You don't see, well, you might see a couple average Joes out there. Some of the average Joes out there like to go loot and pillage and stuff, you know, take advantage of situations. And, you know, when the power goes out, it's, you know, free TV time and that kind of stuff. You know, they go bashing in stores and stealing and doing all kinds of craziness. But for the most part, the majority of the people ain't like that. They don't do all that craziness. You know, but there are individuals out there who take advantage of the system itself. You know, and so we're up against the wall when it comes down to trying to fix our world. And this is our world. Matter of fact, that's the name of today's show, Our World. our world might get a little crazy every while. You might have some crazy mad science guy named Shaziz out there playing all kinds of dirty deeds, done dirt cheap. Let's do it again. See, is there any wonder why our youth are kind of going off the rails these days? I mean, think about it for a second. They're being propagandized in the colleges and high schools and the elementaries and all that kind of stuff from kindergarten all the way through college. Propagandized, indoctrinated, and then they come up out of here every time somebody comes on the scene wants to fix it, suddenly that someone's a racist and or some sort of phobe or something like that. Man, you want to talk about pure ridiculousness. That's what this is, seems like it is. And so imagine you're the little guy sitting back watching the world go by, and you're seeing all these adults acting like a bunch of knuckleheads and stuff, you know? Lying and stealing and cheating and drinking and cursing and raising a ruckus. And, you know, on one hand, it's like, you know, hey, it's a party. It's a free-for-all. Maybe I should have played some of that doggone Ted Nugent free-for-all or something like that. Let me see here. I'm going to see if I can get Patty up in here again. I've tried to call her same time there. Where'd she go? I got to find the button. Let me just click on this way right here, and I'll start a call. Yeah, it's a free-for-all, man. That's what it is. And you go up there into the Congress and the Senate and all that kind of stuff, and you're going to see some corruption. You go up there, look, you might smell like a flower, perfect rose, okay? You step on up into the cesspool of Washington, D.C., and all of a sudden, that rosy smell just starts to deteriorate. Suddenly your feet stink. Right? Now, you came in smelling like a rose. Everything's all right, man. Hey, I could tolerate my feet stinking a little bit. I'm a senator or a congressman. All right? So I'm going on up here, and, you know, I come up close to the White House, and, you know, and my armpits start to give a little bit of funk off. And I'm like, hold on a sec. What's going on there? Now my feet stink and my armpits are reeking all to get out. And so, you know, you go up there, you walk past the White House, you make it on down to the Congress building. Let's just say we're the congressman. All right, first day of congressman, I got my little briefcase underneath my stinky armpit. My feet are beginning to reek by now because the closer I get up in there, now I got some people talking up in my ear and they're saying, hey, Mr. Congressman Shaziz, I tell you what, bro, I will give you a few pennies in your bucket if you vote for this right here. And I'm saying, well, you know, I don't think the people sent me here to do that. And they're like, well, you know, come on, man. You know, cut a brother a break. And so I'm like, oh, well, let me think on it. And so the further I get down in there, somebody else comes running up in the other ear and said, yeah, man, you know what? I got a picture you smoking a cigarette down behind the chicken shack down there. You want people to know you're smoking? Well, you better vote the way I want. And I'm like, what? That guy just tried to bribe me, and now you're trying to blackmail me? All right, well, by that time, I'm breaking out of sweat. My neck's beginning to stink as well. So I got stinky feet. I got stinky armpits. My neck is all kind of greasy and stuff, and my hair is just kind of dripping down like that. I look like something out of the 60s with my hair all slicked back and everything. I'm starting to get a little stressed here. What's going on? All right, and then, you know, here comes somebody out of an alley, and they're not even trying to bribe me or threaten me or blackmail me or anything. They're just saying, you're going to vote the way we want you to vote, and you can take that to the bank. And so, you know, me being the good patriot, I'm putting my dukes up, all right? Let's send the tooth fairy to the bank first then, bro. You want some of this? This is how it's going, right? Well, you know, I finally make it up into Congress. I get up here in my seat and everything's going down. I'm listening to everybody and I'm like all proud I'm here, you know. But I still got this funk going on about me now that I didn't have before, because I used to smell like a rose. Now my feet stink, my armpit stinks, my neck's reeking a little bit, my hair's kind of greasy, you know. I'm not feeling as good as I was whenever I first started off for Congress. I'm starting to think maybe this was not a good idea. First off, it was heck getting here because it cost me a whole lot of money. And it actually cost a whole lot of people who believed in me a lot of money. So we got all up there and, finally everybody's money's kind of paying off. We got old Shaziz in Congress and we know he's going to do the right thing. And I get up there and, man, I got choices to make. I got one guy that was saying that he was going to give me some money if I voted this way. I got one guy said he's going to tell everybody I was smoking behind the chicken shack. And the other guy, he just flat out told me, I'm going to do what he says, whether I like it or not. But I'm there for the people. So I got to do this thing, and I got to do it right. I got to be the patriot. So one of the three things possibility going to happen, and I'm under a lot of stress. I don't smell as good as I did when I started. I'm walking through the cesspool of Congress, and I'm trying to figure out, man, what am I going to do? If I stick to my morals and I do everything, I'm going to have to pay a price one way or another. Somebody's going to get me. So you got to think about that congressman or that senator that might have come up out of their their home or whatever, being with good intentions and a good heart, wanting to do something right. And they get up in there in that den of vipers, and suddenly, you know, things are different. Games being played differently, and even the rules in Congress are set up to keep your voice suppressed. You can't just get up and say, I object, and all this kind of stuff. They'll drop the gavel on you, and if you get too rowdy, they'll probably throw you out. You know, make it so you can't even have a voice in Congress or Senate. So anyway, by that time, you know, it's starting to smell up in my seat. Boy, I tell you what, I sat down in that seat that was there for some last congressman, and boy, I tell you what, now my booty's beginning to reek. I'm telling what, it's I'm becoming part of the cesspool. You know, and I ain't got no money in my pocket. I'm thinking, well, it may not be no way that I can fix this. You know, I'm just one guy after all. I might not be able to fix this, so maybe I ought to take the bribe. You know, that seems the lesser of three evils there. The one guy want to blackmail me, tell everybody I'm smoking behind the chicken shack. The other guy, he just wants to hurt me or whatever. He done said it. So I might take that money and just kind of vote this way and try not to make no waves and keep my head down while I'm here. So the new congressman or the new senator up in there, you know, he's got his work cut out for him, he or she, whatever the case may be. That's the kind of world that we have to contend with. The little podcast that I just played right there, basically explaining how before somebody who wanted to get in there and try to fix things, they already started trying to get some dirt on him. He was already rich, he couldn't get bribed and all that, so they were going to figure out some way to get him thrown out of office. Now, the people elected him as a representative because kind of by that point, the people were fed up and they figured, well, you know, might as well just give the media and Congress and the Senate a black eye, and we'll put this guy here who's not part of the system up in there, and we'll get him elected, and then he'll change things. He'll get things fixed. He'll build the border wall that we keep hollering about. But all the way through the entirety of it, even after the election, constant on and on and on, people attacking this man, people attacking anybody who voted for this man, people calling everybody and anybody a racist. So old Congressman Shaziz is sitting up in there, and by this time, boy, I tell you what, the funk is unbearable. It smells like an outhouse in the middle of July with the sun beating down. It's 110 degrees Fahrenheit out there in the shade. And so it's pretty bad. I'm trying to fix the world, but that's the point. You know? And I'm thinking to myself, maybe I ought to take the bribe. Maybe I ought to take the door number one instead of two or three. Maybe I ought to just get out of here and resign while I still got something to resign with. But I already took all the money from all my supporters to, you know, run my campaign. You know, we put a lot of trust in a lot of people out there. We put a lot of trust, sometimes candidates that shouldn't even be reelected get reelected to Congress and the Senate. Sometimes there's so many dirty deeds done dirt cheap, and probably some of them ain't so cheap, but they're still dirty nonetheless. Done by our CIAs, our FBIs, all of our alphabet soup agencies, supposed senators and congressmen and representatives, and so one could only guess that that probably had a little bit to do with the frustration of the average Joe trying to work hard in their daily life to support their family. That's frustrating, folks. But it's not all bad news here. It's not all bad news. To this point, yeah, it's terrible news. I got a saying. I said, you can't walk through a cesspool and come out the other side smelling like a rose. That was the little moral of the story that I just ran down with old Shaziz being a congressman or a senator. I started in smelling good, but the deeper I got up to my neck and all the way to my greasy hair, by the time it was all said and done, I'm your standard congressman that if I keep the status quo, I will get elected and reelected over and over and over again through hook or crook or election fraud, whatever it takes. I'll be sitting in that seat the next go around. Now it's up to we the people to stop it. It's up to we the people to go out there and get us some of those doggone stick-ups. You know those things that you put on the wall? They got a little sticky pad. You put them on there. You pop them open and they make your room smell good. They take the funk out of there. A couple cans of, you know, Lysol with some spray that smells good with flowers or potpourri or something like that in there. We need to disinfect Washington, D.C. if we're going to continue to use Washington, D.C. Now, if we got a president in there who's not the status quo and the mainstream media hates him, that's why I voted for him, because that mainstream media hated him. Must have been something about the guy. Number one, he's rich. They can't bribe him. Number two, he was saying things that was making the media mad, and you don't want to make the media mad if you're on their side. And they just can't stand him to this very day. And even their college indoctrinated drones that they've got scattered out through all the land, you know, they just go, they get massively triggered every time they see somebody with something as simple as a hat that says Trump on it. They're ready to fight. They're ready to cry. They're ready to just implode. That's strange. Never seen nothing like this in the history of all the elections that I've ever seen. I've seen people get frustrated when Obama came around because there were questions about his citizenship and stuff like that. But to this extent, no, I ain't never seen this kind of craziness. Well, anyway, I'm a rambling on, and guess what? We got Patty Walking Turtle in here. Hi, Patty. Sorry about all that.
Hey, you know, it's good to wake up and hear this. I mean, what, you know, dirty deeds done dirt cheap with my first cup of coffee in the morning. Hey, eat that.
Yeah, that was the live version, but as I'm sitting here listening to the initial podcast of all the corruption that's going on just to try to get us a country, you know, sorted out, it just, dirty deeds was, it was applicable.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. Your little analogy about what it's like to want to run for office to help people and what finally is the result when it's all said and done. We're in a position right now to where you cannot be an honest politician. You cannot be an honest representative. Shoot, you can't even be an honest preacher today.
Yeah. The government's got their hands in the church as well, man.
Yeah.
And yeah. some of it ain't got to do with certain governments. Some of it's got to be with certain governmental structures in the organized religion sides of the churches. I mean, they're there to make even though they're non-for-profit, they want to have a big fancy castle for everybody to come to and big floor shows and all that. That ain't what church is supposed to be about, is it?
Well, now, wait a minute. If it's not for profit, then how does a minister get a jet, couple mansions, yachts, and all of that stuff? How does that happen? If that's not for profit, doesn't that show that the money is not being spent on the needy?
Well, when he's got a gold tooth, a zoot suit, and some diamond rings, and bling hanging off his neck, and he's talking about helping the needy, there's a red flag there, I'm thinking.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you're the minister of a church and you're giving out the gospel, I'm not religious in that respect, but there are people who devote their lives to their faith, and this is a beautiful thing, and it's never wrong. If you walk in the light, and if you walk in love, then you're doing the right thing, you know.
Yeah, that's what I
believe
too.
But they're listening. Yeah, they're listening to these leaders who are telling them that they need to give, that they need to give of themselves to help others. And the son of a gun is saying this while a limo brought him to the church from his mansion. And he's asking, how many times have they asked, I need money for another jet.
Yeah.
We gotta have another jet. We got to fly in style.
Yeah.
You know?
I got
That's God's intent.
I'm like, I don't think it was meant for you to be getting rich going there to be a servant to, most servants aren't rich. Most servants are struggling to get by. They're just happy to have food and happy to be helping people out. But if you're getting rich off of something like that over everybody else, see, how many people in their congregation are having trouble paying their bills? How many people that just walk through the door looking for somewhere to be warm and maybe get a meal or something like that? That's
There's
terrible.
An elder out there getting $700 a month, but he wants that elder to give him 10% of what they get.
Yeah.
So that he can help himself to the next nice thing that he wants to buy.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I was ever to be a pastor of a church, my deal would be this. I would tell them first off, every day, from the very first day the church opened its doors, I'd be telling them, I'd say, look, as far as if you look around you real close, you're not going to see an offering plate around here. And as far as what they call tithing or anything like that, if you want to actually help God's people, what I want you to do, if it's laid on your heart to do so, you go out there and you help them direct. Don't funnel it through this church.
That's right.
This isn't what this is about. You go out there and you help the people. You help God's people with your tithing. It don't even have to be money. Just, you got a shirt that you ain't going to use. It's a nice shirt. This person over here got a raggedy shirt, and you want to help them out? Help them out. That's what it's all about.
Well, there's something wrong with the guy with the zoot suit asking the elder with the tattered ship dress, give me money.
Yeah.
You know? There really is. When I see that, it makes it so much clearer to me that there is no difference between most of these religious persons and the government.
Yeah, well, according to my belief, all men are created equal, and ain't none of us better than the other. So with that said, if the guy's standing up there with a zoot suit while the other guy's standing down there with an old raggedy potato sack or something for a shirt, something ain't right about all that. And I'm just saying that I've been in a lot of churches that I actually got up and walked out. I mean, it was a nice church, don't get me wrong. Everything was clean. It looked like the Taj Mahal, or not the Taj Mahal, that was a tomb. It looked like the Hyatt Regency Motel, smelled good. There was fanciness everywhere, and they had a real fancy band with all this equipment, and it just didn't seem right to me because, you know, your spiritual journey shouldn't be a floor show. Your spiritual journey is personal. That if you go to church, you choose to share your spiritual journey with other fellowship out there, you know, not go there to pay for some big old fancy floor show. I mean, heck, I could go down to local theater and do that. That's not what it's all about. Plus, they want to try to sell you some CDs or something on the way out the door. Yeah, buy our t-shirt. Help to support the cause. Really? No, take that money out there and replace those houses that you basically confiscated from the poor people so you could build your parking lot. You know?
Right.
It's ridiculous.
But anyway, well, you know, it used to be lead by example.
Yeah. Now, when Paul Harvey said in 1965, I tell you what, I just can't get over that. The man, I'd say, is almost prophetic. It's almost like he was one of the messengers or something. So, what do you think about that?
Well, it's true, and he definitely had an inside view, didn't he?
Yep.
But then if we look back through history, we've always known what was coming. We've always been told by one individual or another that this was coming down the tubes. And today, we're those people.
Yep.
You know, we're telling the next generation they're going to go back in 10, 20 years, and they're going to listen if we're still here, the broadcast. If they can still get their hands on them, and they're going to say, wow, those people knew what was going on, and nobody listened.
Yeah. May in the chat room, she said, everybody got a prize. Look at our congressman with a salary of $170,000 a year end up with millions in the bank or offshore accounts. And that's why when you're walking through that cesspool of Washington, D.C., and you finally get up there as a new congressman, that particular individual took some bribes, you know, and then they even offer these folks a job when they get out. Hey, you know, this job's only going to be a couple years if you don't get reelected. Hey, you like to come work for us? Well, yeah, sure, I'd love to come work for you. That'd be a great job. Well, just vote this way. Oh, that's how it works. Yeah, that's exactly how it works. Pay to play kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it's the way everything is done today. I mean, even locally in your community, it's a who knows who game.
Yeah.
And if you're on the outside, and if you're trying to do something that is channeled more toward the people, then you're immediately met with opposition.
Yeah.
Because it's a money game, and there's no more. You know, it used to be that we had morals, that we had ethics, and that they were important to us, that our word was important to us, and that's what we gauge the value of our own humanity on. What were those things that showed that we were honorable, that we were truth, that we were responsible? But all of that's gone by the wayside. That isn't talked about anymore today. Today, it's all mixed, mashed up together to make as much illogic as possible. And to be a hypocrite is the norm today. It's okay. I mean, you're expected to.
Yeah, you're expected
to be a hypocrite.
That's why I was saying earlier that it ain't no wonder why the youth of our today is all kind of going sideways and, you know, look... Teach his own. There's some folks out there, though, that look like they fell face first into a tackle box. You know, and that hasn't been painful. But they feel like they have to be individualized to the extreme so that they can get attention. And I'm just saying, dude, don't stick your face in the tackle box. Have all them bass lures hanging off your face and in your ears and back your skull and all that kind of stuff. You know, just... be you, and we can recognize one another. But man, if you wonder why these people are doing these crazy things, it's because the insanity of what supposedly our leadership of the world constantly bickering back and forth. Everyone's a racist, and then you got some people that supposedly social justice warriors out there saying, oh, just be whatever you want to be. You can, you don't even have to be a man. You don't even have to be a girl. You can be whichever you choose. You can marry a tree these days. I mean, come on. We're kind of setting an example for the future generations. Every single generation, I can explain this best in the actual rock and roll scene. Every single year, a band comes out that's got to top the one that came prior. They got to be harder. They got to be louder. They got to be more ruthless. And you get some, I mean, it just seems like some of the dark lyrics that come out of some of these bands these days, it scares even the hardcore rock and roller from back in the 60s. So, every single year, they keep on trying to top the one last. And that's the same thing with individualizing yourself. We gotta top this, we gotta top that. Now you got people out there modifying their bodies where they're implanting crazy stuff in their face to make them look like a lizard. And you got, that's permanent. You got to live like that for the rest of your life, looking like a lizard. Someday if you have a change of heart and you say, oh, man, I really wished I hadn't have done this, but now I ain't got no way to get all this ink out of my skin or these things out of my skull. But if this generation is watching that and they decide they want to top that, and then the next generation comes in line, there's going to come a point when you just ain't going to be able to recognize humans at all. Morally, physically, or whatever. You know, at one point, you might even be able to genetically design your body to have four arms instead of, you know, two, you know. Or just think about it. Sci-fi come to life. Maybe you want to be part spider or something like that so you can be a superhero. I mean, if you watched half of the movies that I've seen about sci-fi and all that, you'd be surprised at what people actually think of. I just can't even get over how when Stephen King was writing a lot of his novels about all these different monster movies or murder things or whatever, what was going on in that man's mind to even visualize bringing that to a screen and almost making it a reality in somebody else's mind? Does that make any sense to you, Patty?
Well, it's not supposed to make sense, is it? I mean, this is if you could put a tag on this generation, if you could put a label on this era, it would be, to me, the era of illogic, the era of insanity, anti-sense.
Yeah.
You know, anti-logic. Because when we look at what's they're trying to change the science. I mean, no, we're always pushing the limits of science. We are always trying to see how far we can take things, how far we can take our understanding. That's fine. That is the way it should be. Always question. But no, that's not what we're doing today, is it? Today, we're changing known biology by saying you cannot be a boy or a girl when you're born. Yeah. And that makes no sense. I've asked this question over and over, Shaziz, and I have yet to get a response that holds any amount of logic to it. When I say, if you're born, and you are born with the genitals of a male or a female, then that is because in the womb it was decided what you were going to be.
Yeah.
Now, that means that biology decided what you were going to be.
Yeah.
And when you're born and you grow up, you make a choice.
Yeah.
You say, I choose to be another gender.
Yeah,
that's a choice. It's not biology.
The world says you can chop that off and become a lady if you like, but if you can't have a baby, my view as far as goes, you can't be a lady if you can't do what ladies are naturally supposed to do, you know.
I have nothing against you. You're born a man, but you want to dress like a woman and look like a woman. You want to go through these surgeries and all of this to be what you consider a woman, you fine, you go do that. But don't tell me that you're going to change science so that it rectifies your inability to call yourself a female if you were born a male.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It doesn't equate.
You're not
wrong.
You're not wrong. I think I got an answer to why the guy stuck his face in the tackle box. Yeah, Scotty Sovereign said down there he was smoking weed. I think it might have been a little heavier than weed, man. Must have been some whiskey involved in that one, because, geez, I couldn't even imagine that.
And so, where's he at?
He's down here in the TCT chat room. And Anon0968 said, last year Congress got a $15,000 raise for expenses. Really? For doing what? For fighting and arguing? Heck, Batty, you and I should fight and argue and see if we can get a $15,000 raise. All right?
Yeah.
You think you're going to pay off? No, we'll just get bored of fighting and arguing and then apologize and be back to normal again. We ain't getting rich off of it, that's for sure, unless we get on YouTube and make a Jerry Springer of it. But I don't want to go that route, do you? Man.
I think we've got a little too much Jerry Springer going on today. I mean, this, you know, intelligence has to mean something, right?
Yeah.
Sanity has to mean something. It's like we're watching a remember Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
You know where the roadrunner could be going down the road and the coyote pushed the rock off the ledge, and we all laughed when it always fell on the coyote, or the coyote could never get the roadrunner.
Yeah.
Because we knew, you know, it's all fake, right?
Yeah.
It's just a cartoon, so we could laugh at that silliness. We can laugh at it, but we can't laugh anymore. She says.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. It's like, we make light of it a little bit because it's just so unbelievable. It's like slapstick comedy or Jerry Springer show. We can't believe that society has taken that big of a tumble down the road to the commode, so to speak. You know, it's just...
Anon 9116 says there are genetic anomalies like the Klinefelter syndrome and Turner syndrome where the body displays characteristics of opposite gender. Yes, and there are drugs that you can take and vaccinations that will make male breasts grow.
Yeah.
But that does not mean that they were born biologically a male or a female.
I often have to wonder if some of the genetic disorders weren't naturally done because of, if you think about all the chemistry that's, there was a documentary quite some time back where they had said that every time people were flushing all their vitamins and stuff down the toilet, you know, naturally, but those vitamins and all those medicines would end up in the water, and the water filtration system that, you know, kind of recycles, it's as disgusting as it sounds, are water treatment plants that take out all the nasty stuff and try to put it back to fresh water and then, you know, pump it out into nature again and then try to recycle that water. Well, they said that, according to this documentary, they couldn't get all of that stuff out of there. And so, you know, it's like the growth hormones that they put to get in dairy cows to get dairy cows to, you know, produce more milk. Well, then they were saying that there were actually, younger ladies who were maturing faster breast-wise than they would have otherwise naturally. And so one has to wonder, could that be a long-term from back during the industrial age all the way up to modern-day time? You know, how we found out about lead poisoning and asbestos and all that kind of stuff like that, different chemistry that wasn't good for us, or, you know, alternatives to sugar like aspartame and, saccharin and different things like that that were known to cause problems in, you know, testing. You get to the modern day time and now you've got every now and then, you got these different biological anomalies. Now, not to say that sometimes nature doesn't have a problem, but I don't remember when I was younger frogs being born with 4 or 5 legs extra or something like that. You see what I'm trying to say here? Am I making any sense at all? You tamper with nature. It's like that old commercial, the butter commercial. Don't mess with Mother Nature.
You don't fool Mother Nature.
Yeah.
You can't fool Mother Nature.
Yeah.
It always comes back. But look at what, you know, one of the main things that are in our environment today, in our food and in our beverages,
yeah,
are the estrogen mimickers. I mean, there's a purpose for that, she says. You don't put things like that in food or in your beverages without some reason for that.
Yeah.
So we have to go back and we have to ask. We have to ask those serious questions. You know, people say, well, yeah, there's estrogen mimickers in soy and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. People have been eating soy for hundreds of years, she says.
Yeah.
And they haven't been getting overabundance of estrogen mimicking compounds. I mean, so what's the difference today? Well, it has to be in the manufacturing. It has to be in how they're producing this. There is no way. People tell me, well, yeah, it's always been in there. Well, yeah, it might have always been in there, but it wasn't always affecting the people. We have foods now that are so unhealthy, that are so toxic, that if you were to look at a list, if they were to write down the list of chemical compounds that are in this food and give it to you and say, here's your grocery list, go to the store that sells these things and buy your food, you would say, heck no, I'm not going to that chemical store. I'm not buying chemicals to ingest.
I used to joke about that all the time. If you want all the ingredients to make a bomb, go down the snack section down in the grocery store. Read some of the credits in all that stuff, man. And that stuff that's supposed to save your teeth, the fluoride, that comes from a toxic waste. I mean,
right.
Come on.
But Anon 9116 has another thing they put in there. They said as far back as history goes, about 10% of the population is classified as homosexual. I agree. In the tribal nations, there were two-spirited people. Always. They've always been around. They have. But it was that proportion. It was within proportion. And it was not, you know, what you have today, you don't need 128 terms. You have gay, you have your lesbian, you have your homosexual, you have your trans, right?
Yeah, it's all kinds of them. There's like, I think they said something like 56 different genders now.
Well, in California, I think there's like 78 terms or more that pronouns that you have. This has gone completely over the top.
Yeah.
People want to have operations. Like I said, I don't care. I mean, you want to get breast implants. That's not your glands, right? They didn't do that by themselves. You're either going to get a breast implant or you're going to take hormones to make your breast grow. That's not natural.
No.
That's not your natural state.
Well,
you're going to have an operation to remove something and or whatever. That's not your natural state.
There's one other
thing. Accept that.
There's one other thing. You know, when you talk about adults and making their own choices, to each his own, I agree with that too. You know, do what you want. It's your life, you know. It's your spiritual journey. It's your life. Do what you want.
Just don't force me.
Yeah, but there's something else here. They got, like, they have these drag queen things, and they're now having them at libraries, and they're getting children involved in dressing up. Some of these, I don't know if you've ever seen some of these videos with the ways that they dress them up, and they're really disturbing. And the fact that there are young children and parents sitting around like this is a normal thing, it you know, if it was my children there, hey, man, teach your own, but I'm out of here. I'm not letting my kids be exposed to this kind of craziness. Now, I'm from a different generation, but, you know, I don't care. There's a certain limit. You allow these children to grow up naturally, allow them to learn things, but they're learning things at an age where they shouldn't be learning things, and you're being exposed to them unnecessarily just under the guise of being inclusive in society or politically correct.
Well, now, there's always been drag queens.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah, way back when. But you know what they were? They were adult entertainment.
Yeah.
Adult entertainment.
That's the
they
key,
were
right
meant
there. Adult.
To be adult entertainment, not entertainment for kindergarten children.
Yep.
Not to bring a pole and teach your child how to climb and dance on a pole by a person who does this for adult entertainment. This is completely and morally,
and visualize,
unacceptable.
I agree. Visualize this, too. Now, there's a lot of people out there holler about separation of church and state. They want to keep God out of school. Well, after 9/11, there was this thing going on where they were actually taking and teaching people about Islam, you know, teaching about the Muslim faith and all that kind of stuff in school, because they thought because of what happened during 9/11 that people are fearful or hate Muslims or whatever. And so they was teaching this to kids in school, having, you know, an understanding. Of course, now, if you can visualize the little Christian boy or girl sitting in school and suddenly they're learning about this other deal, you can see there's confusion now in their minds of something that, you know, they were originally told by the governments and the people who wanted religion out of school. It should be straight across the board if it's going to be anything at all. If you're going to teach one thing, you should teach all things. If you're going to teach, creationism, you should teach evolution, vice versa, so that everybody can put all the information on the table and, you know, make a logical decision. But that's not the way that society is being led.
Yeah, let's look at this. Let's look at this. This is, there used to be a time when you went to, me and you were part of that era. We went to school. What was the first thing you did in the morning before class began?
We said the pledges of allegiance and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, you did.
And
yes, you did.
We used, one nation under God. And that wasn't
That's right.
a bad thing.
Nobody had a problem with that.
No.
Nobody had a problem. And it didn't make me religious to say one nation under God. It didn't make me anything other than respect
for each other. Yeah.
Respect for each other. Exactly.
That's it.
This is what's changed. Now we look and we see that, oh no, you cannot say the Pledge of Allegiance. You cannot say the word God.
Yeah, you can't wear a shirt
that
context, has any kind
but
of...
But you can be a Muslim or you can be a homosexual at 7 years old.
Yeah. Ain't that a shame?
And you can make this part of your political stance and be able to talk about it and teach it, yet you cannot say the Pledge of Allegiance, nor can you say the Bible or God, you know. And look, I'm not religious. I am spiritual. I am I believe in the Creator. I believe in the love of the Creator. I believe that each and every individual is part of the energy of creation.
I agree.
I don't deny that in any way. But I do not deny anyone else from whatever faith or belief they choose. Yet, I'm not able to believe as I want to or speak about my belief because it may offend someone else.
Yeah.
What?
That's like,
what?
I'm a Christian and I'm not religious. I don't subscribe to any organized religion or anything like that. I don't go to church and look for the hierarchy and ask them for permission to talk to my creator. I just do it, you know? Maybe.
But if that's what they want to do, that's fine, right? I mean, it doesn't affect me for somebody to go to church and be faithful and to do good work.
Well, don't get me wrong. I do go to church now and then, but I got this thing about the way that churches are run, like we explained earlier. If it's under the right pretenses for the people, if the church ain't trying to get rich off of the people's misery, and they're out there actually in the community being a family to their brothers and sisters and not tithing to the church and the building and the hierarchy of the church, but going out there and feeding the hungry and giving them clothes and meeting their needs and just doing things out of the goodness of their heart, that to me is the best way to glorify the Creator. You see what I mean?
Yes, yes. And it makes all the sense in the world. She says, I don't know what you're doing in this world right now. You don't fit.
Yeah, I
don't. I'm sorry.
I don't. It's just crazy.
You just don't fit. You have to be taken out because you're not propagating the division. You're not propagating the separation. You're not propagating the angst, so get your butt down the road.
That's right, and you know what? I'm a terrorist because I just told everybody on there, if you want to make a bomb, go down to the snack section and get you some Cheetos and all this Kool-Aid and stuff. They say Kool-Aid is the best stuff for cleaning, deck plating and stuff, and soda. You can clean battery acid off of your battery terminals in your car with Coca-Cola and Pepsi and any carbonated beverage, you know. So
you can start a fire with Kimora.
There you go. So, you know, that's it. I tell you what, man. This is
like Barry wants in. And I want to say hi to Stephen Gibbon out there. I love you, Stephen. I miss you so much. I don't get to see you enough anymore.
So, what we got going on, folks, is that, you know, we basically, everybody's been told it's a free-for-all. You can do whatever you want, be whoever you like. Just don't step on anybody else's toes. So on and so forth. And so part of what Paul Harvey, explained in 1965 is right there, you know, on that line. But, you know, it's not all bad here in the world. I want to tell you something, folks. You got a lot more power than you can imagine. I threw a link up there in the chat room. I want to play if I can scroll up there, and because there's a lot of people talking in TCT. So every time somebody puts a text or a message in there, it drops the links down lower and lower. So... But I want to play something that's kind of cool. Let me see if I can get up there. I got to figure out how to use the TCT chat room. There's a scroll bar on there, but I couldn't see it. All right, I got two little podcasts that I want to play. The first one, now tell me if this would not be cool. This particular individual wants to go out and visit every country in the world, but he's smart enough that he can do this. So let's listen real close to all this.
Hey guys, today we're going to do something fun. Voy a grabar un video hablando en 20 idiomas. Guanini ni na panya hifi? Guanyamian, yoheng halte, honorul, peyunun, ke, chemitago, senka kamida. Immer wenn ich in ein neuen Land reise?
German.
Da iman du hawe at alam bas, al kalimat, minugat at daula. Belich dot komo. Ken, lo, babakasha, et adaroba. Dile stivayu, jizni, leche, I paraiduit, nirchnek, jiteli. Andreas Braune, introduce la malili stil kushuan.
Danish.
Et d'entrer en contact avec le peuple et les traditions.
Danish.
Wojishu. Tango chapena koche ali shishu, war niemand Engels spricht.
Dutch.
Tapus Pasha Kimusha Signa Seruri Kuchatahe. Estao você pode fazer amigos e se divertir ainda mais.
Portuguese.
Brave Dutch. Que diz saduete todo vídeo. Ve hiç acil geçmeyen bir dil konuşursan şovüldü akomenteri patik egit pro. Ay tempü de batin ay Soleka mira sanga nanka kukuko haleska oşeti kalsay. Para malama nang lahat kunga ano kaganda ang ating mundo. Amore y clase per guardare.
I'm Javinsky, and if you like my travel videos, please click subscribe and join me as I plan to visit every country in the world.
Issues, guys.
Alright, so basically you just heard this guy speak in multiple languages. Alright, now he's going to go out and he's going to visit all these different countries. What's going on there, Patty? Are you there?
Oh, I can hear you now. We lost you there for a minute, but
I'm playing a small podcast, so give me a minute because I'm going to do one more. But basically, in case you didn't hear it on your side, what I played was a man who speaks multiple languages. He's going to go to all different types of countries, all different countries, and basically YouTube it. All right. So the next one in line.
Go ahead and mute Barry.
So the next one in line is, imagine if you could do what that man did. That's a lot of talent. I mean, now that is like amazing. That man is that smart that he can speak all those languages and go out there and communicate, across the language bridge of the world. Now he can talk to all different countries. He'll be a good translator one day. That'll probably be his job or whatever. But listen to this. This is amazing because this is technology. This is what we're capable of.
I want to meet a beautiful girl, even more beautiful than my lovely wife. I don't believe it. That's incredible. Wow.
Can you tell me where the market is? It feels like I'm speaking Chinese by myself. Wow.
This ice cream is delicious. Nice work.
Okay, that podcast is a little low on volume. I don't know if you got to hear anything, but that's a nifty little gizmo out there that you can speak into, and it will actually translate your words to whichever perspective language that you choose to talk to somebody in. And when they talk, it does the thing in reverse. So isn't that cool as all get out? What do you think, Patty?
Yeah, it is. Auto translate.
Yeah. I mean, it actually, it's voice command operated. You go, you put in whatever language you want to speak. If you're in Japan, you put Japanese on there, and you can say what you want to say, and you can hold it out to the person, and they can hear what you just said, and then they can respond to you back. That is so incredible. Look, folks, the world's getting smaller, all right? And I would love to be able to talk to everybody. I'm going to see if I might buy me one of those doggone things. That's just incredible. Imagine one of these days when these computers get so doggone smart, no matter who's talking on there, we will all understand. Ain't that amazing?
Well, they got one for Canada, eh?
Well, I think there's actually one that has different dialects. Like, I'm from Missouri, so sometimes when I talk, I sound funny or something like that. I sound like a redneck.
you sound like an American. You sound like an American.
All right, well, that's cool then. But I just thought I wanted to throw that out there as a plus, that things aren't that bad in the world. See, the world is getting so creative that we're able to talk to people we couldn't talk to before. You get on there and you type something on there, and somebody in another deal has a translator. They can translate it over and they can understand, so you can communicate across there. That's just one little tiny tool in our arsenal on making this world a better place. And it brings the power back to the people, where we're not separated by voice. So why should we be separated by color or all these different genders that are coming up and craziness that's going on? Imagine if we could actually set a really decent example for the future generations. What do you think about that?
I like the one they got now that takes my voice and turns it into typing. My boy tells me I can get this loaded onto my computer for about $30 or something.
Yeah,
and I'm talking to the mic, and it types just as fast as I talk. And that, to me, is a good thing because I'm a one finger typer.
Yeah, you gotta train. I gotta
get that one.
You gotta train those, Baron, because I used to have that Dragon point and speak one. Oh yeah, by the way, I put a link in there somewhere in the all the different chats for if you want to see what that device looks like or watch the video. Anyway, where was I going? Oh yeah, Dragon Point and Speak. I've had that years ago on my computer, but you got to go in there and you got to train these words, and over a period of time, it gets used to your dialect and it'll say the right thing. But before you start talking to this thing and you ain't got it trained, it will say a bunch of crazy stuff. So don't send a message out until you proofread it. Yeah, it's mind blowing. But yeah, it's getting impressive though. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Too scary for me. It's going too fast. I can't even catch up with what was going on a year ago.
Yeah, artificial intelligence has probably blown past us already.
Well, we don't know half the things that got put aside. Good morning, by the way, Patty and Scissors.
Good morning. So, Barry, we've kind of gotten a little crazy here today. We've talked about all kinds of things. I don't know if you had a chance to listen in to much of what we had to say, but we started off with Spygate. And during the Spygate podcast thing that I was playing there, I had to throw in AC/DC's Dirty Deeds, because that's basically the good explanation of what goes on in Senate and Congress, basically Washington, D.C. And then I even gave an example of, you know, the simple of it is, I got this saying, you can't walk through a cesspool and come out the other side smelling like a rose. And that's pretty much what these senators and congressmen are exposed to. They might be really good-hearted folks with good intentions when they get there, but the moment you step foot onto the Washington, D.C. Ground, or District of Columbia is what they like to call it. Well, then you start to get in some stinky feet, and it works its way up, and the longer you're there, you just become part of the system, which is sad, but, you know, there is hope in the world, and I just explained one little tiny fraction of it. Now you can talk to all kinds of people with a nifty little gizmo you put in your hand. I think that would be awesome. I'd love to go everywhere now. I could talk to them.
I just want to say, too, because you made me just think about it, that I was watching your video that you put up on your free energy, Mad Science, and I didn't realize you had such a neat setup for your freaking... How many things are you constantly doing? I was just looking at your... When you were on there, you got, like, what, 4 monitors, 2 keyboards... I mean,
oh yeah, it's like juggling.
It was a great video. I think people need to jump on over there to YouTube and check it out. Just saying.
Yeah, it's like juggling. That's my command central. I got my Mad Science lab over to the left. I got the command central in the front, and so I'm sending out information. Hey, the show's coming on over here, and letting everybody know. And pushing buttons and trying to monitor chat rooms and talking to you folks on Skype while keeping an eye on the encoders. And I got my secret server that nobody knows about just yet because it's a secret server. If I tell the secret, then it ain't a secret anymore. Yeah.
Well, what it is dedication, you know, and that's another thing that's missing today. I mean, oh yes, we have dedication. We have dedication, but not to the people, not to each other. We have dedication to ideology. We have dedication to monetary systems and economies. That's what has superseded everything, every moral, ethical value that we have as a people. And a lot of people say, well, that's what America was founded on. Well, guess what?
Nope.
There, morals and ethics are not privy just to the United States. They are privy to people.
Yep.
There used to be a time when these things were valued above all other things. When truth, when loyalty, when honesty and responsibility were the hallmarks of what we were to aspire to. When we looked up to those people who held those values and those traits, where we would know that when we were spoken to by these people, that what they were telling us, if it would benefit us, was going to benefit us. If it wasn't going to benefit us, then we knew it wouldn't benefit. We had truth. We had logic. We had common sense. So we moved in a world where we could extend ourselves freely without fear and say, okay, I'm going to be a mad scientist. I'm going to be a mad scientist. I'm going to develop these free energies. I'm going to show people the way. And people stood up and said, yay, Shaziz, you go for it. Now, today, you're ridiculed.
Yeah.
If you come out with a free energy system, that's not acceptable because that's not current science standards.
Well, the crazy thing is, that's what the world said they needed. And that's what the government said we needed. We need to be clean, renewable, alternative, sustainable, and all these fancy words, energy independent. And then when somebody who, you know, understood what was going on stepped out there to put the deal on the table, suddenly, you know, that's not right. I don't get it.
Well, you didn't get the fine print. You know, we never read that freaking fine print. And the fine print said, yeah, but only if you can make it a profit.
Yeah.
Driven system.
Yeah.
And that's what we didn't read.
Yeah.
That's what you didn't read.
That's the fine print at the bottom of the page.
Yeah.
A magnifying glass to read.
Well, you know, you guys and gals got to see a look inside of Shaziz's duct tape and bailing wire. This is what I do, try to hold it all together. But I do it because I believe in the dream. I still believe we can fix this thing. And you know, I got some new computers on the way. That's a cool thing. I'm be able to kind of keep up with the times, and I'll keep it going as long as I possibly can. But, you know, I think you put a message on my video, and it really warmed my heart because the words you usually say are awesome. But I do this because, number one, I enjoy science. I enjoy being a servant to my brothers and sisters. I enjoy helping people out. I do it because I love everybody. I love this world. I love the thought that we can take something that over time has kind of got messed up and we can restore it back to something really awesome, and then to see how far we can actually excel as humans, you know. We've put this power in the hands of all these companies and corporations and leadership for so long, and we've allowed them to run amok, and we've allowed them to basically use us like Jerry Springer show or something like that, to get us fighting amongst each other, to always be dependent on the government, to be dependent on the corporations. We go out there and we work hard for these people. We go out there and we make things for them. But I see, you know, we got all this information, we got all this technology, and even though this is put strapped together with duct tape and bailing wire and recycled this and recycled that, I'm able to get this far by myself. Now imagine what we could do together. It would be amazing what we could accomplish. And I think...
Well, I do have one complaint, Jesus.
Yeah.
You cut your hair.
Oh yeah, that was because of my wife's father passed away, and we had to go to a funeral, so my wife wanted me to look respectful, so I had to honor her and her dad, and you had to grow back.
Okay. Hey, if they don't like it the way it is, who cares?
Yeah, well, I told him, I said, like, this is mad science hair, you know, this is supposed to be like that, shows that you're a genius and stuff, right?
It's like I filmed a Baptist church. I wanted to go to a Christmas Eve service, and I said, can I wear my hat in your church? And they said, no, we ask you to take your hats off at the door. I said, okay, I won't be there. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Ah.
I did.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way you want to look at it. I'm there for a reason, and because I want to wear a hat, you're not going to let me in the door?
Man, I'll tell you what.
See you later.
If you're out trying to spiritually save souls under that type of deal, you should just allow them, come on in the door. Just don't make a ruckus. We're trying to be peaceful and learn a few things here, you know?
You just need to go to the biggest church there is that doesn't require you don't have a dress code.
Yeah.
You don't have a time. You don't have to be there at the appointed time for service.
Or you just make life
listen
your church.
To the sermon 24 hours a day, and that would be with the mother out there in nature.
Yep, you just make life and nature your church. You get out there and you be yourself, and you try to work as close to the harmony with nature, and you follow your own spiritual journey, for whatever belief you have, you follow it, and you lead by example. If your example's good, other people will look at it and they'll do the same, you know. If they adopted it into their life, you know, that's it. Seed planters. Ain't that what you and Barbara call us all the time, seed planters?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. So plant the seeds. Yeah.
Common sense planters, I call them.
Well, that's good, too, because we
need
common sense.
Well, let's get back to that. Let's get back to that. I like the common sense thing, you know, because it's an endangered species today.
I need common to step out for a minute. You got the microphone, Patty. I'll be right back.
It's like, it seems like the new think that has come about is trying to tell us that common sense has no place in the world today, that logic is backwards for some reason, that we are somehow less intelligent when we observe life and find the logical patterns and the logical ways in which life exists, and we try to live within those boundaries. That's illogical today. Today we're taught that logic is anything goes. Except for logic, you know. It's like, you can say anything you want, Ziz. You can say that the sky is red. And if I come to you and I say, well, wait a minute, Ziz, I'm looking up there, and the sky is blue. I mean, except for those chemtrails up there, those lines, you know, and the clouds. But underneath that, I can see the sky is blue. And you can tell me, Shaziz, that I'm insane and there's something wrong with me, and the rest of the world is going to stand behind you. And the person standing next to me, looking up at the same sky that I am, seeing it blue, but who is into the new world think, will say, no, Patty, that color is not blue. That color is red. So I'm here all by myself saying, guys, the sky is blue. And everybody's pointing their finger at me saying, you're wrong, Patty. The sky is red. And I walk away from that, and I've got two choices. I can either stand by myself and continually be ridiculed because I think that sky is blue. Or I can join with everybody else and I can be part of the new think. And there are perks with being part of the new think today. There are perks. If you're part of the new think, you can say and do anything you choose within those perimeters. You're free to discount logic, science, biology, all of that, as long as you follow along with the herd. Because the new logic of today says that war is peace, that light is dark, that happiness is grieving, that or being angry, that responsibility is turning your back on the truth and promoting the illogic. I mean, this is where we're at today. We're in a world that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, but it's purposely written this way.
Yeah, in the years.
So we got to sit back and we got to ask ourselves a question. How far are we willing to take this? How far are we willing to sit back and allow this to go?
You're right.
Good question.
Back in the old days, they used to sing kind of like common sense funny songs. Do you remember that old song, You Can't Roller Skate in a Buffalo Herd?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it makes sense. Why would you want to try? You'd probably get run over.
I think that question's being asked worldwide right now, Patty. What's it going to take to get people to rise up in mass? Well, you know what? In Canada, we are seeing that happen right now with the Yellow Vest movement. It is growing exponentially. It's giving people a neutral platform where they can express their disgust with what's going on in the government. And I see it growing in leaps and bounds. So in Canada here, we really got ourselves in a pickle with this prime minister. But, of course, he's doing exactly what he's being told to do by Mr. George Soros and his puppeteers. But we are seeing Canada right now, a massive awakening of people to actually what's going on in our country and the threat it represents to our future. So I am seeing some encouraging things in Canada right now. I really am.
Here's the deal. My perspective is that what we are witnessing with the rise of the Yellow Vest, all everything else that is going on across the globe, this is not particular to any country. If we look, we see it everywhere. We're still being led. They've still got the ring in our nose and leading us through, because nothing will ever change a corrupt government. If this government is bent, and if your government is bent, like the rest of the world governments are bent on a new world order, a globalization, and what that entails, it does not matter how many yellow vests you have. It doesn't matter how many cities you burn. It does not matter how many slogans you put on placards and stand in the streets with. It's part of the agenda. And the only thing that I see coming from this, because we're doing it the wrong way, we're still going up to the government and saying, change your ways. And the government can't do that. The government cannot change their ways and still be a government. They can't do that. Governments are not built that way. People have been misled, just like everything else, and taught that your government represents you. Your government has never represented you. Never. Your politicians will say whatever it is. Your politicians will say whatever it is that they need to say.
Right. I agree with you, Patty, on your thoughts, but I've got to interject one thought in here. You know, people have to start a journey of discovery at some point in their life. And you figured it out, I've figured it out, a lot of people here really understand what's going on in the background, how this is all being played out on us. But a lot of people are still blind to that, and there has to come a point in a person's life where they sit down and start looking at things. And if anything, this Yellow Vest movement is doing that. I know we can't change the government. They'll never listen to the people. They will never, ever honor our wishes. But if we can get enough people aware of that fact, then maybe we can go in the right direction.
Let me ask you.
What happened with the Arab Spring?
Let me ask y'all some questions here.
What happened with that, with the people in Greece?
Yeah. Let me ask y'all some questions here. See, our government's supposed to be representing us. And then, to some extent, we're supposed to represent each other. So, there's a website out there, Grist, I don't even know anything about this particular website, but it says, here are 17 things fix the world. First is talking about ending poverty in all forms everywhere. Has the government even got close to that? Is that even achievable? And if so, how in the heck
have they ever attempted it?
Yeah, okay. There's one question. End hungry, achieve food security and improved nutrition, and promote sustainable agriculture. I think nature already had that figured out. I think greedy people kind of messed it up. What do you guys think?
Well, let's look at the continent that tells us the most. You have Africa. Africa was once, a long, long, long time ago, a very, very abundant. There were tribal issues, one tribe to another. There was these skirmishes and things like this, as there are when you put too many cultures together. Yet they still had abundance. They had governments. They had ways of, but it was like the old tribal ways. Then all of a sudden there were resources to be had.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to Africa?
In come the man, started oppressing everybody and just to make some money. That's it.
And putting one culture against the other.
Yep.
Causing wars so that they could garner that land, so that they could
that's because there was diamonds.
The movers and shakers could move in and take the resources.
Diamonds and gold and silver and all mm-hmm. types of resources.
So you have
and enslave the people, population.
Right. So that you have these people who became impoverished.
Yeah.
So the people became impoverished. The land were, there was no farming, there was no agriculture anymore, there was only the slave trade and the minings and the powers that be controlled it all, and we started to have starvation.
And then a new introduction,
how many
guns.
Hundreds of years ago did that start? And have we fixed that problem yet?
Nope.
No. What do? We send them bags of rice from places like China, yeah. which have melamine in them.
Plastic rice.
Right. We stick a pole in the ground and pull up dirty water and say, okay, there's your water source, and we wonder why these people are sick.
Well, that goes to Nick.
Why they're not flourishing. Huh. But yet there are charities that take billions of dollars from the people, not the governments, from the people through charities, and these people are still eating rice and drinking muddy water.
Yeah, and that goes to question number 3. Ensure healthy lives and promote well-being for all ages. Now, what you just explained was a track record of the so-called governments and even, to some extent, the charitable organizations who are pulling lots of money out of lots of people's pocket. But how many years does it take in today's day and age with the technology we got to resolve starvation and sickness?
There should be a starving person on the planet right now.
That's yeah. right. Really? And we know that there are people, what's his name? Lawton, Steve will probably remember. He went into the desert and within 10 years had a viable forest growing.
Yep.
He was able to do this in the desert. It's the knowledge is there. We've seen it done everywhere. Yet, how come it hasn't been being implemented? If they're really caring about the people, why are they now having wars and killing off the whites?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're growing farms. Huh. And here's the thing, is that they're killing whites who are the farmers, and they're starving themselves in the process because nobody taught them how to farm.
Yeah, you don't burn down your own community.
but yet, see, if they would have had the knowledge to create their own agriculture, then they could have been doing their own agriculture. There wouldn't be a reason to fight.
Yep.
But no, because the powers that be purposely set this system up to where you would have one culture over the other. There can never be peace, ever. There will never be peace. There will never be abundance. There will never be freedom in Africa because of this.
Yep.
And that is mirrored in your country and my country because mm-hmm. they pit our cultures against each other, withhold knowledge from one to the other.
So, number 4, Now, this one really gets you because here one way they want to try to tell everybody that we all got to be together and help each other out. So this one here is ensure and keep, listen to this closely. Ensure inclusive and equitable quality education and promote lifelong learning opportunities for all. Eh? Nobody get that one?
Right.
All right. We'll move right along to the next one. Achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls.
Achieve gender equality.
Oh my God.
Shall we move right along?
I laugh when I hear that word, man.
Alright.
There's only two genders.
Number six. Ensure availability and sustainable management of water and sanitation for all. Didn't we kind of talk about that a second ago about trying to give people filthy water to drink? Didn't we talk about on many shows prior that working in harmony with nature to help clean things up and keep our water fresh, all that kind of stuff? Or the documentary that I mentioned where people are flushing vitamins and who knows what else down the toilet? You know, the drug deal.
Oh, they're planning on putting lithium in the water too. Don't surprise me now.
Yeah,
that's a good idea. Let's add that to the lead and the fluoride. And in Terrace here, they put chlorine in our water, of course, to make sure the pipes don't rust in the city. Are you serious? Chlorine? A class one carcinogenic? Well, let's put it in the water. Now, look at the people in Flint, in Michigan there, the amount of lead.
Yeah,
and they're still having major problems, major, major health issues that are rising now, and we're only starting to see the beginning of the health issues that have been caused by this issue. And we knew
they can run their cars on water because it's so flammable.
Yeah. So here there you go. You could do it anyway if you use science, and you could do it.
For that money, Patty.
But you know when it's
but there's no process needed now. She says,
just fill
the gas can from your tap and go.
With that, to the pump.
All right, we're at number seven now, and I kind of like this one right here. This is one from my own heart, I think. Ensure access to affordable, reliable, sustainable, and modern energy for all. Woohoo! We got one!
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We solved one.
Yeah.
Now we got to get people to listen. All right.
You just go ahead and produce your free energy. Put it out there and see how fast you get shut down. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. For sure. So, number eight, promote sustained, inclusive, and sustainable economic growth, full and productive employment, and a decent work for all. Look, you
McDonald's
guys,
is your kind of place.
There you go. We could work at McDonald's. I'm going to sling some hamburgers for a living. They'd fire me because I'm a terrible cook. All right? Anyway, so guys got anything on that, or you just want to move along?
Let's move along.
All right, number nine, build resilient infrastructures, promote inclusive and sustainable. See, inclusive and sustainable.
Resilient cities is part of the Agenda 2030 plan.
Bingo.
Of course, this is all part of the 2030 plan, everything we're speaking about.
They want to put you all in a stack and pack cracker box house and not let you live out there with nature. They want to close down all the land and put you in cities. That way, they don't have to go out there and find you if they want to do something to you. You're all right there, you know, and they could use you like guinea pigs and test you with all their new science and medicines and stuff like that. Never mind the fact that you want to live your life free and be able to walk the land. You know, we said a long time ago, it'd be nice if we lived in a world that didn't have any borders and we could just freely go wherever we want and treat each other right, but we're not there yet. Otherwise, this list wouldn't be here. So,
until we learn to play nice,
that's
not going to happen.
All right, so
look at the good side of it. You know, we'll end up being like China where their average apartment size, I think, what did I read, 220 square feet?
Yikes.
You get that to live in. That's great.
I get it.
I think in California they're trying for 680 square foot.
My gosh,
for
I get a Charlie horse in my leg in that closet. Well,
China's a lot smaller than that, Patty. I was reading some reports on that. It's just a stack of.
All right, number nine. Build resilient infrastructures, promote inclusive. Oh, did I ever read that one? I think I did.
Yeah, you did.
All right, number 10. Sorry about that. Reduce inequality within and among countries.
Well, as long as you have the right pronouns, as long as you support the right candidate, and as long as you support the right religion.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're free.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah.
And you can continue to watch your hockey game and drink your beer.
That sounds good in theory.
Not really.
Yeah. Oh, Shazuz is
I mean, we had this at one time. What the heck?
Yeah.
What the heck? You know? It's like, yeah, you had it at one time, but we didn't like that. We want it done this way.
Yeah, that's
you
it.
Know?
All right, number 11. Take cities and human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable.
With a fence all around.
Yeah, with a fence and facial recognition and voice recognition, bio this and a little chip in your pocket. Yeah, I know where old Shaziz is. I'm going to tell his wife. Hey, Shaziz is down there at the liquor store again. Better get him. Call the police.
Boy, talking about a chip. They're sure starting to push that heavy now. You guys have noticed that, eh?
Yeah, that's it. Everybody, and they do it under the guise of convenience. And then you got these people who go out there and say, no, we'll do it. They put it in there. Look how convenient it is. I don't have to use a key. You know, I don't get locked out of my house. All right, well.
I'm special. Look at me.
Yeah.
Yep.
You also.
how easy people are deceived.
Yeah. And number 12. Insure.
What's the ding ding?
That's somebody's bell ringing.
My phone just picked up the internet, dinging like crazy. Sorry, guys, I'll turn it off here.
Well, it says every time a bell rings that an angel gets their wings. All right, so a whole lot of angels has got their wings. Okay, number 12, ensure sustainable consumption and production patterns. I don't understand that one.
In other words, go to the factory, get your job, go home.
Yeah, there you go.
Do your job and go home. Watch
all right.
your TV.
Oh boy, here's my Achilles heel. This is one gonna get me on the stink heel. But I tell you what, number 13, take urgent action to combat climate change and its impacts. That makes my eyes.
We're responsible for it, man. There's no doubt about that. 97% of the scientific community.
Well, they're actually doing that. If you pay attention, they've got ARP, they've got chemtrails. They've got oil in the water. I mean, they're doing their part.
Yeah, so they're not lying. It is man-made when you pour crud up in the air, but it ain't the men and women that are down here on the ground doing it. It's the knuckleheads. It's supposedly the modern mainstream science and colleges and governments that are doing it, saying it's supposed to help you out. But they didn't say things like they're going to put genetically modified mosquitoes in this area to inoculate you, whether you want inoculated or not, or whether they were going to use these particular genes in the corn so that you can only grow it one year and then you have to go back and buy some more seed from them. You know, that's... Ugh. What are they dumping in the sky, folks? And they said they're dumping it now. They're not even lying anymore. They'd burn it. Let's go on to number 14, because climate change...
No. Let's before you go on, I want to bring in the fact that they are dimming the sun right now. Yet, China is creating a fake sun.
Well, they probably figure if we freeze ourselves on this side of the rock, they want to make sure they stay warm on theirs.
Yes, China is, they've created a fake moon, and they're creating a fake sun now, which I'm wondering.
I've never heard that. This is new.
I'll find, maybe Stephen can find
us. I've heard everything.
Yeah. They're dimming the sun because the sun is bad. The sun is bad for you.
Terrible thing.
Well, Scotty Sovereign.
It's bad for the earth. It is bad for all of us. But if we create a fake sun, that's good, guys.
Yeah, we can bake you on demand. It's our forest fires. Scotty Sovereign said the world is driven by satanic greed, never satisfied, always looking to take more and enslave more. When folks wake to that, then we have a shot at freeing ourselves of said satanic system. Man, that's good. He's right. He's right. It's going to take the people to get out from underneath the, you know. Look, the only ones who have the chains on us right now is we the people. The government's running around free. I mean, heck, they can commit any crime they want and get by with it. That's proven already.
Yeah, but we're the ones that say, hey, can I have another link in that chain, please?
Yeah, just give me an extra foot so I can make it to the bathroom. Oh, man.
Yeah, government can't be touched, guys. They're a special group, and they make the laws to make sure they protect themselves.
Yep. All right,
and
so
we sit back and take it.
Can we go to number 14 now?
Sure.
All right. Conserve and sustainability use of the oceans, seas, and marine resources for sustainable development. Now, see, we should have been protecting nature out there all along, right? But, you know, there were incidences that occurred that were, you know, man-made that governments basically protected, such as, you know, the big old algae blooms that got fed by the runoffs from farms, and it took a... It was like pulling teeth to try to get anybody to know that they can resolve that easily, and, you know, until it was going to benefit them, they weren't no part of it. They weren't going to try to fix this, but they were causing a lot of fish die-offs, and even to the extent of what occurred over in Fukushima and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, the oil spills out there. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, or there was a mine tailings release, I forget what country it was, in... my memories, I was reading about it. It was one of the worst releases of tailings into the ocean ever. Completely contaminated a river system. Where was that, Patty? I'm sure you saw that.
That was the Uruguay?
Yeah, the gold tailings.
That was that here.
Yeah.
That was...
No, there was one down in South America or... Oh. Boy, it was a bad one.
Well, there
and
was one.
And you never heard anything about it.
There was
media,
one.
On radio or TV.
There was one where they told the natives down there that just wait for the crud to float by and you can start using the water again.
Yeah, but you can see the water is contaminated. I mean, it's got this eerie glow kind of color to it, and it's been that way. They're not doing anything, like they're not doing anything for Flint. Like they're not doing it. You know, if we took...
They're not doing anything about the amount of radiation going into the ocean every day. They're just letting it happen. Are you insane?
Right.
Is this world
sustainable?
Gone
no, that's sustainable development. Sustainable,
that's sustainable
development.
Okay, we're going to look after the ocean, are we? Well, I got a news flash for you guys. I don't think there's going to be much left of the ocean in 5 or 10 years. Myself.
Well, but now
and
we've
I'm not a doomsday.
Technology.
I'm not. What?
Now
technology's going to fix it.
Technology that can kill it all and they can bring it all back.
Hold on.
Brand new stuff. They can make robotic fish.
Hold on.
And organisms, everything. They're going to do that all?
There's good news in number 15. You'll like this one, Barry. Number 15's got good news in it. Protect, restore, promote sustainable use of terrestrial ecosystems, sustainably manage forests, combat desertification, halt and reverse land degradation, and halt biodiversity loss. So, yeah, they got a plan, right?
But in short term, that is funnel everybody off the land, put you in cities, and we'll look after everything.
That's true, yeah. You don't need
to translate that right.
Yeah, you did perfectly. You don't need that farm.
He's got one of those translators.
I bought it on Amazon, man.
Yeah,
on sale, $19.99.
The government's going to farm for you. I mean, they do a really good job of that. They actually pay farmers not to farm land so that it keeps the prices of stuff up. See.
And we can make sure that we're all eating genetically modified food because that stuff is good for you, I'll tell you.
Yeah, and if you wake up with a fourth eyeball on your face or an extra limb or something like that, don't worry. We can cut it off. We're science.
Well, they're going to stop all reproduction in the human race so they can bring in the robotics, man.
Oh, yeah.
Replace
well, shoot, we ain't
it's
even
all about replacing it.
We ain't got to that one yet.
Transhumanism.
Transhumanism, eugenics programs, it's all being played out in front of our eyes right now.
Yep.
And it's all one little piece here, one little piece there that all kind of tie together, but you don't see it because they're just little pieces.
We got two more left. Number 16, promote peaceful and inclusive societies for sustainable development, provide access to justice for all, and build effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions at all levels.
Just don't wear a red hat.
That's right.
That says make
don't have a Trump t-shirt or an American flag.
That's
do
it.
Not forget your pronouns.
That's
you
right.
know? And accept the fact that you can have immigrants come into your country and rape and pillage, and you have to say thank you very much.
Very, very thank you, Mr. and Mr. Politicians, for having my daughter raped and my uncle's head cut off. You see the two girls in Morocco that were just beheaded live on video?
That's
you know, Swedish girls, or Scandinavian.
Swedish. I didn't even want, I didn't want to look at it, Patty, but I forced myself to watch that.
That's terrible, man.
I'm sharing it around. And
oh,
it's scary.
Yeah, and Mace in the chat. Oh, we forgot about that, didn't we? The Vaccine Advisory Board.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that.
About the Vaccine Industry Compensation Board, who's seeing more claims right now than ever before in their established history.
We'll get to that one.
Yeah, but who's paying for that? I like this, that they give the vaccine companies complete immunity, and the government pays the people from their own tax dollars that they had to pay in to pay for the vaccine board that the government runs to be able to get their children taken care of after vaccine injury.
Yeah, we'll get
so
it.
The people are footing the bill again.
We'll get
yep.
it. We'll get
you
to
sign
that
your non-disclosure agreement, and everything's finalized. You'll get paid off for what happened to your child, but you can't say this or talk about this ever again in your lifetime.
Well, I just want to put this. She said, "I just read the link, and it says vaccine gate. Italians uncover vaccine fraud." Sacked its entire vaccine advisory board. Woo-hoo!
Yay. Well, what do you think, guys? Eventually it's going to come to the surface. Eventually people are going to get educated enough to realize that vaccines are a curse on the human race, and I defy anybody to prove me wrong in that statement.
Well, Bill,
they were intended for a good thing when they were conceived, but it's completely changed.
Bill Gates said out of his own mouth, and you can look it up, he said it out of his own mouth, dealing with population and vaccines. He said, and I quote, if we do a good job with vaccine, we can reduce the population. That came out of his mouth. Oh,
what about
vaccines
the vaccines they sent to Africa that were laced with HIV, and they knew it. And they infected how many millions of Africans knowingly?
The polio virus that he took over there, that he was sued by the people in Africa for giving the children polio in India.
Same thing. He's been sued by them for bringing these vaccines in the country. And yet in the United States and Canada, we're ramping it up. We're ramping the amount of vaccines a child gets before he's 7 years old. It's absolute ludicrous. Then we wonder why our children are so sick. Everybody seems to have a child that's got an issue. Kids are out of control. Well, you'd be out of control, too, if you had Agilence and formaldehyde and some Thermosol and some live virus and some egg yolks being injected into your body in mass amounts right to your blood barrier into your brain. You wonder why kids are scrambled. Let's feed them some GMO food, spray some chemicals in their sky, and wonder why society is falling apart.
Well,
they really thought this one out, didn't they, Patty?
That's all right. We can dress them all in drag, and it'll make sense. Number
yeah,
seven.
Like that 11-year-old that's being promoted on NBC.
Yeah.
Are you in your mind? And they play it up like it's a great thing?
Yeah.
I'd like to get parents and take them out in the woodshed.
Yep, me too. Number
I can't say that, can't you, Patty?
Number 17, strengthen the means of implementation and revitalization the Global Partnership for Sustainable Development. That made my head hurt. Does anybody understand what I just said? Do I need to read it again? strengthen the means of implementation and revitalization of the global partnership for sustainable development. That means get everybody on board.
That means a one-world government that's pulling all the strings.
Yeah. And it says right underneath that, if that seems like a lot, well, it is. While the MDGs were too narrow and the SDGs could very well be too broad, as Michelle Spector pointed out in the New Yorker, goals such as in poverty in all forms everywhere may seem so broad that they will be easy to ignore. UK Prime Minister David Cameron said as much later year, warning that with so many goals, there's a real danger they will end up sitting in on a bookshelf gathering dust. Even just reading this list seems overwhelming. Imagine being a head of the state trying to implement it in sprawling national bureaucracies. And it goes on. If you want to read the article, I'll just go ahead and post it in.
Yeah, but you see, here's the thing, is that they make it really easy and simple for these countries to comply, because if they just give them money, they promise that money will cure the climate change, that we can pay off climate to play nice.
Carbon tax, if we just pay enough.
I got a question about that.
What?
I got a question about that. Does Mother Nature have a big wallet?
She must have, because because they think this is a viable solution. That if we throw enough money at nature, nature will finally say, "Okay, guys, I'll play nice now."
Well, they don't tell us.
I'm not going to change my climate because you say that I shouldn't. So. And I've been doing this for millennia, but I guess it's been wrong. So if you just give me your tax dollars, I'll be able to sit back, and I won't change.
Mother Nature's got a gold tooth with a diamond and some bling around her neck and all these rings, and she's all like, "Yeah, what's up? You know, send me some cash."
You gotta laugh at the hypocrisy, don't you?
Yeah.
You have to.
Been lost my mind just to think Mother Nature ain't got a big old mansion and living high on the hog. Now she's got her one of them doggone Lamborghinis and stuff running around town saying, "Hey, I'm Mother Nature, don't mess with me."
Well, you know, this carbon tax is just one of the biggest tax grabs we're going to see in Canada, and it's being shoved down our throat by the government. It's not just another thing that Trudeau is doing to destroy the country right now. It's going to turn the middle class really into an impoverished group in Canada, and people don't realize what's going on, and they're shoving this down the throat. But you know what? We could turn all that aside if people just said, "Hey, we want to make our fuel out of carbon now, because we have that technology. We can produce a far better fuel by extracting carbon from our atmosphere, going through a process." This company in Squamish I talked to you about before, she says, and they're getting interest and orders from all over the world. People are starting to pay attention. So what, we got a problem with carbon? I don't buy that anyways. That's total BS. We know that. But all we have to do is say, "Hey, instead of taxing it, okay, let's build a few of these plants and we'll start taking the excess carbon out of the air and we'll produce a fuel that doesn't produce a carbon." How do you like that idea, Mr. Trudeau?
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing.
The answers are there.
That's not viable.
It's not viable, and it doesn't make money, it doesn't support the petrodollar, it doesn't follow our agenda, so we won't even consider something that's absolutely 100% logical.
There you go.
They're getting ready to crash the petrodollar because we're moving away from that. We're going to, every country has been developing their own cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready to move towards that national ID, which will lead us into the globalized ID. And that will happen by 2025, I think they're talking about having this global identification.
Well, here's
something. And once that happens, you will not misbehave.
That's right.
Because if you do,
you'll all have a chip in your wrist, and it doesn't matter if you misbehave or not. If you don't have the chip, you don't follow the mandate, you do not function in society.
If you misbehave, they're going to take away your privilege for food, for lodging, for travel.
That's right.
If you don't think this is real, check out China.
They'll delete your wallet.
After they compartmentalize us into the cities, which the big push is coming now.
They'll delete your wallet.
All kinds of changes being played out.
They'll lock you out of your house. They'll delete your wallet. They won't let you buy nothing. And you'll be out there on the streets and be basically arrested for vagrancy and so on down the line. Folks.
And then your organs will be harvested.
We got to.
Your social credit score. Your social credit score will be the most important thing in your life, because without a high enough social credit score, you will be just as you are today. You won't be able to buy or sell. You can't buy a house because you don't have enough money. You can't get a good car because you can't afford the payments or the insurance or the tags or the license or all of this stuff. You can't go get your health taken care of because that costs too much and you don't have insurance. And if you do have insurance, you still got to make a lot of money to be able to pay what the insurance doesn't pay. You know, so, hey guys, look at it this way. Don't take the chip because you're going to be in the same boat anyway.
That's right.
Seriously.
Okay.
The biggest question
of all is, whose world is this? Our world or is it their world? Now,
well, that depends on how much it means to you and what you're willing to do to keep it.
That's it. That's the whole key right there. Folks, we've given you the solutions. They're out there. Like you said, my friend Steve always says that we are sitting here with a vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips. We're sitting at a crossroads right now. We just explain where we could go following their lead, because they're going to set up all these things. They'll set up the collapse of the government. They'll set up the collapse of the dollar. And then in rushes the hero. Woohoo! I'm the hero. I'm here to save you. We'll just use this digital currency. It's encrypted and you'll never get robbed. Really? It's like $65,000 worth of Bitcoin got robbed from the people in the digital currency, and there's no way to track who did it. Imagine that. So,
well, the new cryptocurrency that are issued by the governments will not come with those little safety factors of not being able to track your cash and stuff.
That's right.
It'll be totally different. They will know everything about you. Google and all these other social websites have collected your information. They've already got you. If you are on Facebook, Google, you use Google, you use YouTube, any of this stuff, you're already known to them and you're already in the database. You are there. They know where you live. They know what you buy. They know why you buy it. They know how much money you make. They know what your health is like. They know what your education is like. And this is all been put already into the database. Yep. It's ready to go. They're not developing this. It's been developed. Cryptocurrency was brought as a trial.
Yeah.
They set it up. They made us think that we did it, but we did not. This was a trial to see how well cryptocurrency would be accepted.
That's
and
right.
It has been accepted.
You know what else, Patty? Is that I think the three of us and everybody else been on these shows right here, we might be very well on the doo-doo list, so when it comes down to it, they're not going to give us no cryptocurrency.
I better be on the doo-doo list.
I think we the people all need to get on the doo-doo list.
Better step up your game.
Yeah, I think all of us need to get on that list, because I'll tell you what, while we have this, where we're standing at this crossroads and making a choice of which direction we're going to go, we either go down the road to the little tiny city that they're going to cram us in and give up our freedom and our sovereignty and our freedom of speech and all that kind of stuff. Or we go our path and we start using all these talents and bring all the pieces of the puzzle, which is you, me, and your friend, and their friend, and all of us, we the people together, to take all of our talents, all of our skills, all of our gifts, and our knowledge, and start using it to steer our world in a different direction. Otherwise, we live in George Orwell's 1984. I'm kind of thinking we're already there to some extent, but I honestly believe it could get much worse. What do you two think?
Well, let's ask the question. I want to ask this question.
Okay.
Where is the true power?
It's in freedom and peace and love and us. That's
it's in each and every one of us. And if we don't start making a noise, if we don't start turning our back on this system, which has proven itself, we don't have to go looking, we don't have to dig, we don't have to spy. We can see, because they make it very, very clear to us that they will control our very lives from the time we're born till the time we die, that we will always be under their control. Now, the only way that works is if we say okay. So every time we say okay to something that they do to take away our freedoms, then we acquiesce and we say, we don't care. We don't care. We have solutions. We got them all. You name it, we got the solution for it. And it works better than anything any government, any science has ever come up with. We got it. We know it. We proved it. Yet here we are, still talking about what they're going to do, as if they have the power to do it. And they don't have the power to do it, because they need our power. The only way they get it is if we say, okay, I'm going to get in the plane, and I'm going to fly up there and drop these chemicals. I'm going to get in that rig, and I'm going to pump that freaking oil through them pipelines until it leaks. Or I'm the corporate system that is going to destroy the land. I am the corporate system that is going to take from every individual on this earth and keep it for my own profit. We know these things. If we allow it, if we keep going to those corporations. See, here's the thing, is that, okay, the corporation, in order to become a corporation, says, okay, this is what we want to do. We want to make this. We want to manufacture this product. Okay, let's go hire a person, an individual, who can design this product for us. So that person goes and designs that product. And then the corporation says, okay, we need a factory to make this product. And so they say, let's go get some guys who can build us the factory to make the product. So they go get those guys. They build the factory. Then they say, okay, let's get people to come in here and produce this product in this factory. So they go and they hire the people who produce the product in the factory, and then they say, okay, let's ship it to the store, so we got to hire people to take this product to the store. So they hire the people to take the product to the store. Then they say, okay, let's get a marketing firm who can market to the people so that they can go to the store and buy the product that they developed, that they designed, in the factory that they built and manufactured the products, and they can buy it all back. But yeah, we did all the work.
That's the whole
And
point.
They sat up there making the profits. What? What?
Two dogs said 10-foot wall, 12-foot ladder. Laugh out loud.
Yeah, really. Really. I mean, come on.
Look, May said something in there. I'm not gonna read it out on there because it's kind of on the sketchy side. She did kind of censor it a bit, but basically it's kind of funny. But it's one of the reasons why I don't want to go down the road of the system, is because pretty much she talked about you're gonna have to go buy a permit to use the bathroom, and you know I don't want to have to go out and pay for a permit to use the bathroom, because if I forget, you know, I like to stay regular and normal and all that on a schedule or something like that. I don't want to like have to one day wake up and, oh, my permit's out of date. I'm in trouble.
Well, what she said, you can't take a poop without buying an annual permit to take a poop. Just send my payment in for 2019. Gotta go poop for 365 extra squats on the leap year.
Yeah, but
so
see,
that makes sense.
Have you ever been at the license bureau?
They're also going to monitor the toilet paper now has a chip in it, and they're going to monitor how many pieces of toilet paper you use
yeah.
per poop. What and if you exceed the government's recommended guideline,
so
you'll be taxed
accordingly. You're going to have a chip up your butt.
But have you ever... But have you ever...
also going to be... Now, there's another thing that they thought... They, cameras in the bathrooms now. Because they want to make sure that all health regulations and pre-poop and after-poop regulations are followed.
Yeah, wash
and
hands.
If that doesn't happen, then you get a fine.
But the thing is, have you ever been to the license bureau? All right, you could be in line for days at the license bureau. So, you know, when it goes through the license bureau, if you got to go, you got to go now. You don't got to wait for days. But, man, hey, you know, I know that sounds bad, but, and probably to some extent, it might even sound funny, but that ain't funny when it's time, when nature calls, you ain't got time to play around. Ain't got time to ask the government for permission.
Hey, it says, how come we only consume 42% of the oil that we actually pump into our car? They have the technology to change that. How come they don't change that? They talk about an oil crisis.
Because they always...
That we're
how
only
come
used,
we're still
we're,
using yeah. oil?
That's because they... That's because they all...
I don't want to change subject, but I read an article on that. Three articles I actually read, and like you've talked about it before, and I'm not trying to change subject.
Well, they're always trying to make money, and so they're always trying to make money. So if your car is more efficient and cleaner running, then they can't charge you carbon tax, and they can't charge you more per gallon at the doggone pump.
They don't want you to know.
If they cannot produce a vehicle that is more economical than a mule, then they don't need to be producing.
That's it.
But, you know, they don't want you to know that if that the excess fuel that's not being used can be captured and used and then used again. we have nothing coming out of our tailpipes, and we're getting 130 or 140 miles per gallon.
At least...
Just blow their doors off their plan.
Yeah.
Right?
At least if you travel on a mule, you do it naturally, but they'd probably fine you if the mule, you know, ate some grass and then dropped some grass, if you know what I'm saying, and left a cloud behind. They'd blame you for, they'd charge you carbon tax and a cleanup fee, you know, for riding
Cop
a mule.
Parts.
Yeah.
Well, we're just trying to point out the hypocrisy here, folks, of all the different things that we could implement right now to completely blow their agenda right out the door, but of course we will never get action unless
we would have just think about it, guys. If we were allowed by the states, by the government, to implement in our own homes the systems of free energy that have been developed to be able to grow with permaculture, with vertical gardening, with bucket gardening, with all of these different things, if we were allowed to use herbal remedies to produce our own herbs and our own remedies, if we were allowed to do all of these things, our communities would be flourishing.
Yep.
If we were allowed to have our children learn skills, life skills, if we were allowed to teach our children in the faith that we aspire to,
yeah,
our communities would be, our children, our next generation would be better than we, because they would then be able to improve on the technologies that we've improved upon.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this would be, none of this that we're talking about would be able to exist.
But instead we're going
world.
The exact opposite direction, aren't we, Patty? Opposite direction.
Yeah.
To anything that's logical or beneficial to the future, we are going in the opposite direction. And I don't know, some days I ask myself what's going to take for people to really start to realize this, and I think that day is coming real soon, because we're seeing right now some incredible events, especially with crop productions around the planet. If you want to project 6 years down the road, which is the farthest projection that I've read about, is about 60 to 65% reduction worldwide in crops in 6 years from now. That's a staggering figure. Staggering.
We're getting ready to come into a period here very shortly to where we're woefully unprepared as a populace for And that is the change that is going to come about. The cyclical change, the scientifically proven, historically documented solar minimums that we are experiencing right now. And, you know, they had to change global warming because there is no global warming. There's a global cooling.
Cooling.
Well,
so we're woefully unprepared. Nobody's talking about it. They want your taxes because they're going to pay Mother Nature and she's going to stop.
Yeah.
She's going to make everything all right. But that's not going to happen.
One last...
Yes, there are things that we need to be doing, but we can't do them because there are regulations against that.
One last...
You can't save yourself.
One last thing about what May was talking about, because there's something to think about. May said the septic permits, $50, get an inspection mandatory. And then I said, is that before or after taxes, May? Because you know how the taxes go. They put the tax on there and extra charges. And oh, man. Look, we could turn that septic tank into a fuel source to run clean generators to actually be self-sustainable. You see what I mean?
We're ahead of all the answers right now in front of us.
That's right.
I honestly believe that. Absolutely answers to every problem we're experiencing on the planet.
And who brought those answers? The people, the corporations, not the science, not the government. The people have the answers. That's the thing, is that we have to realize how important we are to our own future. We are what stands between this dystopian future that we're talking about and the real future of abundance and peace that we need. We have the answers. We truly do. I'm not just saying this. I'm not making this up. This is real. It is real. We are the solution. We are the cure. We're the only ones. Nobody but us. And until we realize this, you know, when you are an adult and you are living your life, you're intelligent, you figured it out. And when you decide that you want to do something, but another adult that you've never met, that has never met you, that doesn't know your name, that doesn't know who you are, decides that you can't do what you want to do, then you have to stop and say, wait a minute. Why does this person have a right to tell me how to live? What right? Who gave that person that right? And you always come back to the same answer. I gave that person the right.
We did. We did.
That's right. But they don't deserve that. They don't deserve that. They don't deserve that right.
Nobody
it's time
has
for
right.
us
we'll
to start
human
standing.
Being, but we've been duped into that. And that's a
yes.
very, very long rabbit hole to go down, Patty. But I think people are starting to realize that.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. Slowly but surely.
We just got to keep yelling about it.
I have a noise. I do have a positive thing happening in my community here, Patty, and it's something I've been working on for about a year now, is I've got a gentleman now that's going to financially put up the money to have a storefront situation for industrial hemp products in Terrace, British Columbia.
We can grow hemp here. It's been federalized.
Well, yeah, but we're promoting the hemp-based building products. It's what we're promoting big time. And you know what? People in my community... The beauty of it, the real beauty of promoting this product right now for me is that it allows me to get into a very, very brief conversation with people why I see this as being a critical thing right now. And I, of course, I hit on oxygen deprivation in the planet. I hope I said that right. The depletion of plankton and the depletion of forests worldwide and the effect on the oxygen supply on our planet. And you can get into that conversation in about 30 seconds, and boy, just hit them with sites that you can go to. Don't let, just go look at these three sites, and they're legitimate, and they'll tell you exactly what I'm saying. Well, it opens up a door all of a sudden where people are going, hey, what this gentleman is possibly saying to me, if it has merit and it's valid, and we can change it all by implementing this new way of building our houses, why would we not do it for our children? And it believe me, Patty, it just opens up a door for me to get into a very simple, at a very simple level with people about why I am so gung-ho about promoting this product in my community and around the world. So,
cool.
Let's try to share that positive for me, because you know what, I'm passionate about it. When this starts to roll here in Terrace, my passion will be there for it, believe me, because it has so many answers, so many. It's unbelievable. And yesterday, I won't get into hemp rant today.
I want to throw out...
Yesterday, because I can go for half an hour, you know that. Shut up, Larry.
I want to throw out another real quick positive and a good thank you and everything. To all the new listeners that just showed up out here, I'm glad you showed up. And I want to thank all the people out there who actually have been, you know, sharing messages and podcasts and all that kind of stuff. If you showed up here on Shaziz Radio and People for People Radio Network and in these chat rooms, and I think that you're on the track to, you know, wanting to do something positive for this world. So, for, you know, I keep an eye out, folks. And I see this moving forward. This is a good thing. So I want to welcome all the people that just showed up. And I want to thank you for showing up. And I want to invite each of you, if you want to come on the Knights of the Round Table sometime and, you know, just say your piece. And, you know, if you've been here long enough, you already know how we do things. It's peace, hope, and love. And we got to talk about bad things once in a while, but we always talk about solutions, which Barry just explained. We got every single piece of the puzzle necessary. But we want you to be that piece of the puzzle that's missing to come in here and help us with ideas and fix things. Share links with each other. Share podcasts. This whole entire thing is so amazing to me. And it, you know, it chokes me up, brings me to tears sometimes. Because I want to see this world so much better than what it is right now. I want to see us leave this world in such a better shape than what we living right now have actually, you know, had to contend with. You know, it wasn't as bad when we got here, but it kind of went down the hill a little bit, and we're trying to get out there and we're trying to clean it up. We're trying to make it better. We're trying to leave something positive for the future generations to come, because this is an amazing gift. But we want to pass it on. We don't want to pass it on all broken. And each one of you out there listening are part of the solution. And each one of you, if you take a look in the mirror, you will see the miracle that you've been waiting for. You know, every day I'm just so amazed, and I'm so humbled, I'm so honored to be able to... The fact that Patty Barry and all these people, these wonderful people, actually allow me to spend time with them during the day, it's so worth much more to me than you can possibly imagine. I mean, it's an honor to stand in their presence when we talk about the things we do to try to fix this world, and to see the wonderful people that show up in the chat room and the love that... it's unbelievable around here. That is the reward, to see all that love unfolding and to see us moving towards a better future that doesn't have some sort of label on it or some sort of government that tells us that we got to do what they say under the threat of whatever. We can fix this world. We can work in perfect harmony with nature. We can work in perfect harmony with each other. We can be our individuals. And we can be respectful to one another, and we can make this world so amazing. I mean, if you look around at what we've actually been given by our Creator, however you think this world, wonderful world got here, it's just mind-blowing to me. The earth is 3/4 covered in water, and yet somebody in the world can't get a clean glass of water to drink. There's something wrong about that. There's so much beauty, so much abundance, so much. The nature is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. More energy than we could ever use in a trillion, trillion, trillion lifetimes. And yet, just for a bit of greed, somebody's out there making life miserable for all of the world. Wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence, you've heard it all. If you showed up here, welcome.
I just want to, if I could, I want to say one more thing. I was looking through the chat, and Gaz has put something in here. And he says, the world is driven by satanic greed, never satisfied, always looking to take more and enslave more. When folks wake to that, then we have a shot of freeing ourselves of said satanic system. Now, I have to agree, but there's something that I want to say. And the operative word here is greed. And where does greed come from? What promotes greed? We have several things. We have power promotes greed, and we have a monetary system that promotes greed. And I've said this before, and I know that people can understand what I'm saying when I say that we don't need money. We don't need money to do the right thing. If money were taken out of the equation, if we refuse to put people over people in a position of control, those two things, if we eliminate those two things, then nothing stands in our way. But as long as we move on the principles of having to be paid to do the right thing and of having to seek control in order to promote agendas, then we will not find our way clear of this. We don't need money. We don't need money. Your mind does not need money to envision and to create and to innovate. Look at Shaziz. Look at all the people who in their garages, without being paid, went and found the solutions. Look at all the people who invested their lives in finding these systems. They went back to the earlier days and improved upon what our ancestors did and brought it forward. And here we stand with the knowledge, with the ability to create a world full of advantage for everyone, full of justice for everyone, full of abundance and health and peace and innovation for everyone. We have every bit of this outside of any monetary system or any control system. This is us, the individuals who have this knowledge. And we don't, as long as we feel like I have to be paid in order to give this to the people, to free ourselves, we will never be free. We will never be free as long as these two things, the monetary system and control, are still left. We cannot go forward.
I want to say something
in that system.
And that was wonderful. That was wonderful, Patty.
Well said.
I want to say something. Ladies and gentlemen, it's okay to be a servant. Matter of fact, it's honorable to be a servant. As long as you're not serving the beast that's eating all your brothers and sisters alive, and instead you're serving each other, it's an honorable thing to serve your brothers and sisters. To take care of them and be the good caretaker, you know? Caretake for the land and work in harmony with each other, nature. Man, there's so many things. We could go so far together. There's so many things that we could accomplish beyond our wildest imaginations. We talked about earlier a little device that would close the gap between all the different barriers of language. You can't understand somebody who speaks a language different than you unless you've been fortunate enough and able to learn that language. We have technology now to where we can talk to our friends in China, the real people, not the corporations, not the doggone governments, but we can talk to one another. And we can tell them, hey, you know, I love you. I don't want to go to war with you, do you? And they're going to say no, because they're people just like you. But it's okay to be a servant. Matter of fact, my book of faith talks about doing that. And it's not a bad thing. It's an honorable thing. Because the reward is beyond all imagination of what we're going to be able to accomplish together, helping one another out. You give somebody some food when they're hungry. Somebody else takes care of you as well. I seen a video one time that seemed so unbelievable that it just blew my doors off. Everyone in the crowd was asking each other. They all had goods. They all had food. They all had clothing. They all had all kinds of things. But they were hollering out in the crowd, who needs some bread? Who needs some water? And I prayed for that. For all of you. I prayed for that for our future generations. And I still, regardless, believe in the dream. That's why it is that I do what I do, folks. It's a pleasure and it's an honor to be your servant. If you need me to help, you ask. Because that's what I'm here for. Somebody take the mic.
Go, Barry.
Don't know what I could add to that, Patty, but it's an honor to be here with you two people right now, and over the years I've got to know your hearts, and I love what I see, and I love being here. It is my Sunday morning lift me up. We have the solutions, folks. We do. We have the solutions to all the problems, but we as a society have been taught since the day we came out of the womb that greed and money is what is important in life, and that is so far from the truth. And unfortunately, money right now is still a control mechanism in our society, but there is ways we can change that. And what Patty talked about resonates with me 100%. What Shaziz is doing right now, being self-sustaining, there is things we can do right now that really get us away from the big corporate wheel that's walking and rolling over top of us. And I kind of look at everything I do in my life, and as much as I can not support the beast, I make sure I don't support him any more than I possibly have to. And that alone, if we kind of instill that mindset into ourselves of doing what we can to not support the beast, because if you're supporting the beast, you're supporting the mechanism that's destroying everything that's beautiful in life. I mean, 100 years ago this planet, or 200 years ago this planet, was a vibrant, healthy organism that sustained itself, worked within itself, provided everything that the human race could ever possibly want, and it can do that again. But we have contaminated this planet to a point where she's getting to the point where she's not going to be able to support life. And we really got to look at the future and our children and what kind of a pile of poop we're leaving them right now. And we can change it because we have the solution. But you got to get involved. You got to look in the mirror and ask yourself what really is important in your life. What going forward is important. And then you look at your child and you look at what's going to come for that child in the near future if we don't make these changes. And to me, that just, it terrifies me. It brings me to tears, but I know we have the answers, guys. I do. And I applaud Jesus for what he's doing. And Patty, you know, I just love talking with you, my dear. Go ahead.
Yeah, we've been going around for a long time, haven't we, Barry? And
yeah, we have, Patty. And we've also talked about this particular time we're seeing right now. We also talked years ago about the fact that we knew that this time was coming. And we see it being really ramped up right now on the human race, all these different agendas, all the rumors of wars. We see the problems in the Mideast. We see the problems with our geological events. We see all kinds of stuff unfolding in front of us. And, you know, I've talked about that many times, the chaos that's going to create in society. Because a lot of people, unfortunately, are still inside the matrix and just really haven't grasped what's going on around them. And when things start falling down, they're just going to play right into the plan. So maybe by being here today, we've kind of made a few people aware of that, and they can sit down at their dinner table and share that information, because well, that's what we need to do.
I agree. I got my breath back, folks. Sorry about that. It gets a little heavy in here sometimes. But there's good news out there. All I'm asking is for everybody out there listening is start to put together a dream team in your neighborhood. Matter of fact, somebody write dream team ? On a shirt and make a hashtag out of it or something. And write it on there and just get people started asking them, what's this dream team? And start explaining them what a dream team is. You find the best of the best in your community. And you guys and gals sit down at the table and you think about all the things that could be improved upon in your neighborhood and in your communities. And you find the solutions. If you got the solutions over there on your dream team, give me a call on my side, on my dream team, and we'll help you research it. We'll help you build it. We'll help you figure it out. We'll move our resources where they need to be in order to resolve these things in one community at a time. But this is a people effort. This is not calling your local government up and say, hey, can we have permission to take and fix our streets or our world or whatever, or clean up our environment? No, you don't ask them for permission. They're just going to put you through a whole lot of red tape and pass you from phone call to phone call, or even worse, the automated system. Forget all that. Get your neighbors, get your dream team together in all your communities. And get on here and use these tools that we have available. Use all these links that these wonderful people have gathered and put together for you. You know? And then when your neighborhood starts to improve, and the neighborhood next to you happens to look over the fence and they say, wow, they're doing pretty good over there, they might just adopt some of those plans. They might just come over there and ask you what that dream team's all about, and they might form a dream team too. We talk about planting seeds. We talk about one positive pebble at a time. Man, I tell you what, we get this wave started. I'm amazed by, you know, the way that this Shaziz Radio and People for People Network and all the other affiliated networks have just begin to grow. And it blows my doors off the more and more we speak to everybody out there, how many people are actually on the same page. They want peace, hope, and love. They don't want wars and all that craziness. And they're frustrated. I get it. Man, if you don't get it by now, you really ain't been paying attention. There's a lot of people out there distracted. But folks, that's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. This table is huge. I mean, it's in digital cyberspace. We can go on to infinity and beyond to the full population of the planet if they so choose to do so. It's amazing. It's amazing just this little bit of what we've accomplished so far, pulling people together. And I still believe so hard in the dream that I know that if we ever decide to, we can literally turn this world that we live into a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. There's a lot of naysayers out there that say it ain't possible. But
it was at one time.
Yeah.
How can you say it's not possible when we've never done it yet?
That's right.
I mean, seriously, you think of what we've already accomplished outside of this system, because we've bucked this system, and you look at what we've been able to produce from each other, from working together to find energy systems that work, growing systems that work, aquaponics, permaculture, health systems that work outside of the system that is given to us. We've done it. It's done. It's a done deal.
Right.
So can't say that it won't work. If you take away the things that cause angst, if you take away the things that cause famine, if you take away the things that cause suffering and disease, then you create utopia.
That's it.
And the only thing that stands in that way is control over your life and my life and every other individual on this planet.
Well,
by telling us what we can and cannot do, and
exactly,
taking from us as much as they can possibly take.
You know something, Patty? Every single time one more person shows up here to join all of our hearts, we get one step closer to utopia. I mean, I'm loving every single minute of it. I did look forward to the Knights of the Round Table because I know that the Knights of the Round Table is like a magnet for good people. And I believe
we'd like to hear from those people. Sure, yes.
Yeah,
we'd love you to join and share your thoughts in the conversation. And Patty, you know, if a fraction of the money that's spent making weapons to kill ourselves every year was spent on actually benefiting the planet, you would see massive changes worldwide if we stopped producing chemicals, if we stopped relying on nuclear power, if we stopped spraying our skies, if we stopped all that madness that's going on right now. But, you know, I believe we would have a chance to save the planet. I say to people myself, realistically, that our time is short. That
yeah.
We are now the people that are going to have to deal with these problems, because if we don't, folks, and I say that right from the bottom of my heart, I mean, we are going to see things that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. But that is coming, and I honestly believe it, but we have a window right now that we can still change it, but you gotta get involved.
That's right, we're standing at the crossroads. Well, folks, look, this is the time again. Here we are, we've been here, it's almost like we just got here, doesn't it? We had some we had some laughter, we had some serious, we did what families do, we had conversation, we drank some coffee together. You know, that's what the Knights of the Round Table is sitting down and working out solutions and talking through things peacefully and respectfully, coming from different points of view and everything. But see, if we can do it on this scale right here, imagine what we do on massive scale. So with that said, it's time to go around the table and give everybody a say. I just want to put one message into your heart. One message, one good message. And if I can succeed in putting that one message, something as simple as love in your heart, and you take it out there and you allow it to grow, and you share it, you're going to find out something. Once that seed of love is planted in your heart, you ain't never going to run out of it. It's too late. You're infected. but in a good way. All right, and you can go out there and share that love and share it, and there's no way to get rid of it. Unless you allow that system to step on you again, unless you become the servant of the master or the beast or whatever, then, you know, you can stay in that. You can stay in that and you can share that. You can be that lighthouse, that little shiny light at the end of the tunnel that somebody says, wait a second, that looks good down there. Let's go down there. It's too dark and nasty over here. That's it. That's your brother and sister standing down there waiting for you. That's what we're waiting on. We're waiting on all the pieces of the puzzle to come together so everyone can have the big picture. And, you know, whatever we think right now, we all got ideas of where our spiritual journey is leading us. But here's the thing, folks. We live in the same boat. And when we get to the end of our journey together, we're going to find out who's right and wrong. So let's argue about it on the other side. All right? Let's just work together in the meantime to clean this mess up that the greedy people of the world decided that was better for us than what we had when nature provided it to begin with. Our Creator gave us something amazing, and we allowed the world to deteriorate, not only society-wise, but to tear up our home, you know? And it's only so much you can do to this system. It can't keep up with the mess that we're making if we ain't getting in there and working with those and the things that are working with us. If we're not doing it together, we get what we got. And like Barry said, it's coming. And it's going to come with a vengeance. So with that said, which one of you folks want to go first?
Patty, you go first.
Okay.
I like listening to you talk.
Well, I think that decisions have to be made. I mean, ask yourself, is this the life that I want to live? Is the way I'm living right now a benefit to me? Am I happy? Is my life fulfilled? What about my children? Is this the life that I want for them? Do I feel that convenience of a system that abuses me is worth the price of being abused, is worth the price that my children will have to pay, and their children will have to pay, because these are the questions that we need to ask each other and ask ourselves. What is it worth to me? Can I exist within this system and still retain the parts of me that have meaning and purpose? And if you answer no, then there must be a solution. And if you need to find the solutions that will help you to free yourself from this system, the only thing you need to do is ask the question, what can I do? What is available? And if you're on the internet, which you are if you're listening, every answer that you need, every solution that you need is there. The one thing that you don't have is you don't have the people to help you do these things. This is what has to change. And that's work. It takes work, it takes courage, it takes conviction, because you have to step up and you have to make a noise and you have to say, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone, I'm going to step out of convenience, and I'm going to go to the person that I call my enemy because the system told me they were my enemy, and I'm going to go to that person and I'm going to open my heart. And I'm going to ask them if we can work on solutions together. That's how it starts. In your community, you take the information that you garner from Shaziz. You take the information that you garner from Jeff Lawton. Was that right, Steve? I forget. You take the information from the solutions that have been found, and you take them to your community. You have to step up. You can't just sit back and think that somebody else is going to make it work, that somebody else is going to bring us to the point where we need to be, and we'll be free of this system that is killing us. We'll be free of this system that is going to destroy the future that I've worked so hard for my children. This is where we are right now, and we have the power, we have the solutions. The only thing we don't have is solidarity, unity. We need to step out of the comfort zone where we feel like we're sequestered in our homes, and we're okay because we have a door and we can shut it and the whole world is hidden from us and it can't see us. It's not like that anymore. The world has gotten very, very small, and the threats have gotten very, very, very big, and you can't shut your door against them anymore, because now they're in your home and they're in your mind and they're in your heart and they're in your body. And the only thing that we have to combat this is each other. The only thing that we have is our ability to reach for something better and to make it happen. And we do this. We've made all of this happen that we're suffering right now. We made it all. We did it because they asked us to. And we thought that we were doing a great thing. And now we see that it was a lie, that everything we did for them is harming us. So we need to stop harming each other. We need to stop taking what they say as gospel. We need to stop finding reasons why we're different and start looking toward the reasons why we're the same. Because we all have the same goals deep down. We want peace. We want love. We want a future for our children. We want abundance. We want health. But they're not going to give it to us, so we got to get it ourselves. And we got to ask ourselves, how important is this?
Exactly. If this isn't number one on your list right now, folks, I don't know what to say to you. I don't. Because everything we talk about on this show is real, that we are living in this generation right now that's either going to make or break the future for the planet. And I honestly believe that. We have all the answers, and if we don't embrace these answers, then we really are going to have to look our children in the face in 5 or 10 years from now and tell them that, yeah, we knew there was answers to the problems, but we didn't get involved. And I don't want to be in that situation. I'll do everything I can to make changes. I don't want to beat a dead dog, guys, but really, we talk about monumental changes in our world, and that can happen if the world fully and totally embraces the one gift that was put on this planet by God that is so great for the human race. And of course, I'm talking about cannabis. And if we embrace that, I honestly believe we could reverse so much of the damage that's done in the last 15, 20, 30, 40 years since the start of the Industrial Revolution, since the introduction of chemicals and nuclear isotopes in our society, and everything else that's detrimental to our health can be reversed. So there's one thing that we could universally get involved in and promote, and I urge people to look at that, because that is a real and viable solution to so many of our problems. Outside of that, great talking with you guys. Always a pleasure. And I love you both, and thanks for having me in today.
Yeah, it's amazing. Look, folks, you're going to have to be patient with each other out there. And you're not always going to agree. But it's time to take that which is you and go out there and do what the good book said. Start healing each other. Start healing the world. Start healing your families. Start healing your nations. It's time for you to take that true power, that true light that's inside of each and every one of you. The miracle that you've been looking for. Go look in the mirror. You'll see it. It's time to take you. It's time to take and build a dream team in every single community. Please never forget that phrase, dream team. Because if we can ever successfully get a dream team in every single community, we got this thing beat. You got somebody sick in your home?
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Woman! Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't...
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to... Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We do routines to border scenes, to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. Hear ye, hear ye. King Shaziz the Terrible. King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.